I think David Cross has a good joke about like people who can't just like shut up for more than 30 seconds. Like they're like, the invisible troll's gonna come out and kill me unless I say something. You know, if there's a moment of silence more than 5 seconds, we're all gonna die. You know,
it's true. I mean, that's not a joke.
Yeah, the quiet trolls, they're called.
Yeah,
they live in your penis.
It's that thing from what's that Stephen King movie, Cat's Eye, the little troll at the end.
Oh fuck, I love that movie.
Fucking great movie. The best episode in that entire movie is the one with Robert Hayes and the Quitters Incorporated.
Really? Over the James Woods quitting smoking?
That's the one I mean. Not Robert Hayes. James Woods. The Robert Hayes one is good too.
Where
he was where he's the tennis guy. Yeah, that one was decent.
Drew Barrymore bit at the end?
Quitters Incorporated. That's the one.
Yeah.
I forgot that was James Woods. Yeah, he was fucking phenomenal in that. Wasn't Alan King in that as well?
Yeah, he's the head of Quitters Inc.
God, so good. It's just so obviously the mob.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's such a great concept too. Of like, if you don't quit smoking, we're going to take off one of your fingers. And if that doesn't work, or no, it's we're going to torture your wife. And if that doesn't work, we take one of your fingers.
Yeah. Take your wife's pinky.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Fucking that's great. Good. The Robert Hayes one's good too.
That's the one where he has to walk around the edge of the building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that one's pretty good too.
Yeah. The whole thing is pretty like,
it's a solid movie, man.
Yeah. Probably the biggest fault the movie has is that the last segment isn't as strong as the first two.
Yeah.
Quitters Inc.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up.
Have you ever seen Cat's Eye?
No.
Yeah, Cat's Eye, it's just a several short stories strung together. It's a Stephen King joint.
It just sounds pretty awesome.
It's fucking great, man. Yeah, oh my God.
Not only is there, you know, the stories we were talking about, but at the end of it, there's a troll that lives in Drew Barrymore's wall that comes out and steals her breath at night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a cat v. troll battle.
Oh, yes. Cat versus troll. You
know, there's a little part of me that feels like I've got this on my Plex account already.
It's a must watch. The fact that it's sitting there not being watched, that hurts. That's causing me physical pain.
Yeah, it's one of the really overlooked Stephen King adaptations. Like I really like Dead Zone's phenomenal because of Christopher Walken.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Martin Sheen's pretty high quality in that as well.
Martin Sheen's badass in it. It's just a solid movie. David Cronenberg directed it. I mean, like, it's a legit good movie. I really like Christine, which is
the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a John Carpenter joint. And, you know, there are a handful. The made-for-TV miniseries are where it gets dicey.
The Stand, that's like trying to watch Twin Peaks.
The first like episode of The Stand, or the first part of the Four Nights or whatever, I thought was legitimately good, because that's where, you know, society's breaking down, and that's my favorite thing to see in any movie. It's not you know, the aftermath. I want to see shit falling apart.
That is maybe why Fear the Walking Dead is growing on me a little bit more and more as I watch it. Because it's not as nearly as action-packed as The Walking Dead, but you get a little bit... You're seeing a lot more of the societal breakdown, which is fun.
The Walking Dead is action-packed?
The comic book is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought we were talking about the show.
Well, the show has moments.
It does have moments.
Yeah, and I disclaimer, I haven't watched anything past, like, season two, so...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
your problem.
You've missed some good stuff.
They
realized there was a comic book that it was based off of.
It was awesome.
They could probably pull a little bit more from that than just, like, out of someone's butt.
Yeah.
The past couple of episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, I thought, have been really strong.
Yes.
And I actually kind of give a shit about these characters now, which I didn't in the first season, really. And, here's one thing we got to talk about real quick, though. So Game of Thrones is back, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And the last episode delivered one moment. The whole episode was great, I thought. But there was one moment in that episode that was the greatest thing that's ever been put on film. And it's when a dude in the Night's Watch, like when the Wildlings show back up with their giant, and the dude from the Night's Watch fires an arrow into the giant's back.
Yes.
And he just reaches up and grabs the dude from the scaffolding he's on and just swings him against a stone wall and just breaks the dude.
Just like pops his head. Like, yeah. He's just dead. He's just gone. Like, you don't mess with the giant troll thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't mess around.
Yeah, it was so good. And it was one of those things, like, I paused it because I was laughing so hard. And it wasn't laughing because it was a funny moment. It was just sheer joy. You know? No. It was like, I've never seen... there has never been a moment in a movie that did that, and that's a real shame. So, yeah, Game of Thrones has come back strong.
Yeah, this particular season is going to, I think, just maybe be the best yet.
It's shaping up that way. And yeah. And that's really saying something for a show that's in its, you know, sixth year. The fact that it's still bringing it. But yeah, the moment with like Tyrion and the dragons was great. And, you know, Arya is now going to be a badass, except blind. And that's even cooler. Yeah, it's so good. So good. And Hodor so has good. A name.
Yeah, Hodor.
Well, William.
He hasn't said William in a very long time.
No, I want to say he. I think it was Andy who forwarded this theory that Hodor was just kicked in the head in the stables. But
like it just happened one day,
right? You know, he's half giant or quarter giant or whatever. And not that smart for beginsies. And then you take, you know, a horseshoe to the skull.
Yeah.
That's going to reduce the IQ of any giant.
Except Andre the Giant.
It's true.
Now, the only thing that could take Andre the Giant down was cholesterol.
It was himself. Andre the Giant said, I will die now. And then he fell over and died.
It sure wasn't beer or alcohol.
Mm-mm.
Was it not?
No, because there's crazy stories about how he would just drink insane amounts of
He just couldn't get drunk.
Alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but he was a monster.
That's true.
Yeah. He was from another planet.
Right. But, I mean, regardless, that can't be good for you. But, you know, like, that's a dude that when he hit, you know, whatever, 40, he was living on borrowed time past that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, just gravity alone is going to kill you.
It's great. Now I got something else to worry about in gravity.
Gravity. No,
damn it.
You've got to be oversized, and you are, you know, you're more fun-sized.
Fun-sized? Like a mini Snickers?
Yeah.
Whereas Andre is a king-size Snickers bar.
Yeah, he's that, you know, that double size where they're just like, we're putting two Snickers in here. Fuck it. It's not even one giant one. It's here's just two Snickers bars.
You can eat it, or you can use it as like a fire starter log, you know?
If they had that option, that's the Snickers I would buy.
The cross brand Duraflame Snickers.
Yeah, and just, you know, munch on it constantly, like Pam munching on Coke cupcakes and Archer, you know. So this is the Shotcast.
So awkward.
Yeah, I know. So this is episode 54. And I only say that because this is, of course, May the 4th. And does anyone want to say it?
No. I was going to say car 54, where are you? I was going to go way, way back for my reference.
That is going way back.
Yeah.
Pulling those deep Fred Gwynn joints.
Yeah. I used to watch, you know, TV when there was three channels. I'm old. Shit like that was on, you know. Adam 12. Adam 12, anyone? That was a great cop show.
That's
Emergency. That was good.
Car 54, where are you? I've seen. I've never seen Adam 12.
It was just like your basic cop serial. It was, you know, once removed from Dragnet, basically.
Sounds like it wasn't, didn't have anything on a TJ Hooker.
It was pre-TJ Hooker, so it probably informed, you know, the awesomeness that TJ Hooker became. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you couldn't have Adam 12 without Dragnet. You couldn't have TJ Hooker without Adam 12. It was kind of like a natural progression of police serials. Yeah. It had a very 70s vibe to it. Do you remember Emergency, the one where it was like the firefighter guys, and they would go out and, like, some construction worker would be passed out on a roof and he would have to go revive the guy, and it had a very 70s thing to it. There was like a basically no character progression whatsoever, but they always just like had a mission. It was like Chips. It was very much like the show Chips. It's like, yep, this story is useless.
I really like Dragnet because it, you know, it straddled that line between, you know, the old school television, but they also had hippies and stuff on the show.
Yeah,
but it always ended with Frank Drebin kind of dressing down the hippies.
Yeah,
and I loved it. I mean, it was just so tone deaf to the time that it was made.
Yeah,
but it was kind of wonderful for that reason.
Favorite cop show is Pacific Blue. You might be familiar with that one.
Does that involve bicycling cops?
It's the bicycling cop show.
Oh my god.
And I legitimately used to watch that when it was on like USA when I was in like junior high.
Wow. So someday I'll grow up and be a bike cop. Then everyone will respect me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, like if you're a cop, you're already walking a thin line of respect.
Yeah.
Because you're just the guy that brings everyone down. And I understand they serve a role in the community and all. They just don't have to be such assholes about it.
Right, right.
I saw a meter maid give someone the finger in Baltimore a couple weeks ago.
I respect that. Nice. That's my problem with cops, is that once you remove the humanity from the situation, like most cops are, they get that cop attitude of like, I got a gun and a nightstick, so I am superior in some way. But a human moment of a meter maid flipping somebody off.
That was great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's just all she could do.
Yeah.
You know?
And the guy's like yelling at her or something out of the window of his truck as he's like grabbing the ticket and saying some nasty shit to her. And she just kind of walks in front of his truck and gives him the finger and then goes about her business. It was fucking great.
Again, totally respect that. That's a nice move.
Yep.
So this is probably if not the last episode, certainly the penultimate episode before Justin and I have our virtual reality accoutrements.
I really thought you were shutting the show down without telling us.
Tomorrow.
Oh, you're getting yours tomorrow. Is that right?
Oh, tomorrow, man.
Oh. That's
so by the time this airs, Justin will have died in virtual reality.
Right.
I will have broken the recently created Guinness Book World Record of most time, consecutive time spent in VR.
Oh, really?
Do you know what that record is right now?
25 hours.
Oh, that's,
I'm like, I that's
child's
that.
Play.
Yeah, what? I'm like, I'll be in Guinness for like a day. You know, get my Guinness and then someone's going to break that record in like 2 days.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well,
I can't believe it's so low.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you could work the logistics of everything out and stay in there for a pretty long time, I think.
You need to take like a week off and blow that record out of the water.
Just really, really set that mother high.
Yeah, all you need is some crackers and a pee bottle.
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
Get yourself a Patreon set up. Get people to pay you to sit there in VR.
That's like the stipulations on that. Where can I switch applications? Am I, you know, like what's do I have to stay in the same, you know, world the whole time? Because if so, I'd probably just load up the old Minecraft and just build myself a really awesome house and just sit inside of it.
Get some mods where you can pipe cable into your Minecraft. Yeah. I mean, you can sit there and watch movies and shit. Hey, I'm in VR, man.
Yeah.
I'm doing this, man.
Get Team Viewer set up in a Minecraft computer and you can just remote into work.
Yeah. You could totally patch that into Minecraft.
Get a little Minecraft VPN going on, man. Hey, I'd sit in here forever. As long as somebody brings me a new bucket every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Well, with all that Patreon money, you can hire somebody to be your, you know, bucket gimp.
You just created my new gamer tag, man.
Bucket gimp.
Bucket gimp.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, once you're, you know, like Minecraft isn't released in VR yet, but you know, how could they not? It's got to be just a matter of time.
Oh,
yeah.
it's already hacked in, yeah. for the Vive. You can play it on the Rift and it's okay, but the HTC Vive version with the room scale and the actual like motion controls are ridiculous. Where you actually just like you get a hammer and you're actually hitting the blocks. And I was watching someone earlier and they were just, their whole world was changed. And they're like, now I live inside of Minecraft, you know, as opposed to like staring through a window into the Minecraft world. They're like, now I really feel like I'm a part of it.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I may have talked about it on this show before, but I basically have like a mineshaft fetish.
This has come up before. Yes.
Yeah. Something about just,
and that's deep that's, holes. Yeah.
And I go into Minecraft and I just dig a hole. I don't know what it is, but and I have like the overwhelming urge to create a mineshaft underneath my house. I don't know why. Just like make a literal man cave down there. Pipe some internet down into the mineshaft, you know. Big TV, beer cooler. Yeah.
I can't shake the feeling that we're one hypnotic regression away from getting to the bottom of this. Oh, no pun intended.
I don't know what it is.
Like you have some weird baby Jessica thing that you just have never gotten over.
But then when I actually have kind of a phobia of, like, you know, you hear about spelunkers and things that have, like, crawled into caves and, like, gotten stuck and died. That shit freaks me the fuck out when I think about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was reading that story earlier this week of the guy who, like, goes down in the cave and he goes, like, headfirst into this one part of the tunnel that was, he shouldn't have been in there in the first place, certainly shouldn't have gone down that one. And then just, if you get stuck headfirst, your rib cage basically becomes like a stopper. You know, if you're trying to pull yourself back yourself out of something like that, your ribs are going to stop you. And he just got stuck and suffocated to death. And that's the most terrifying thing I can possibly imagine.
Yeah, that's terrible. But then I really, really like caves.
You know, it's Minecraft. It's cool.
I mean, like real caves. Even I've gone on some pretty tight tours of caves where you kind of got to scrunch between walls and stuff, and I get off on that. But yeah.
It's like a squeezing thing that you're into.
I don't know, man. Crawling down head first, that's terrifying. But caves in general are really cool. Yeah. I like that you're just, I don't know, in there. Like, I don't freak out in elevators or anything. I don't really have claustrophobia, but
I don't know.
I want to dig. I just want a private space under my house, all right?
You want a pickaxe and just go to town.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Something about that it's a secret is appealing as well. Like, nobody's going to know there's a fucking mineshaft underneath my house, you know? Well, they are now, but...
How does your wife feel about this? Is she...
She knows nothing. Don't tell her.
Just the way it should be.
Yeah, for Mother's Day, she's going to get an anonymous email. It's like, hey, you need to check your basement. If there is, say, any sort of tarpaulin covering the center of the room, do not go near it. It is probably going to be a deep, dark shaft, and you have some questions to ask your husband. What are you hoping to find? Like, what do you expect to be at the bottom of it?
Quiet.
It's just an exercise in getting away from people?
Pretty much. I mean, doesn't that sound great? Just to have I've got a pretty nice basement down here. Nobody ever really comes down here but me, you know, because it's unfinished, so it's a lot of storage. But I don't know. Something about a cave seems like, yeah, that's private. Dude's got a cave. Like, he doesn't want you to come down there and bother him, you know.
What about one of those, altered states tanks?
The sensory deprivation tanks. Yeah, sensory deprivation tanks. Yeah, altered states. That's a great movie. That always was very appealing to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, plus,
sure. Yeah. Give me a tube of water to float in so I can hallucinate without taking any drugs. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a place here, Float Nashville, where you can go do that.
Fuck yeah.
You're just like, here's $20 and I'm going to sit in here for like an hour and a half.
It takes like very short amount of time for your brain. Like I watched some video about this recently. It was one of those, it wasn't tested. It was like a Mythbusters like group of guys that does weird stuff, and sometimes they hit on like psychological stuff, but they lay down with noise canceling headphones on, or you can use white noise, and then they put on masks over their face of just like white, like printer paper that would still allow some light through, but that it would be like just this uniform color, so you could basically deny your eyes and your ears any senses whatsoever. Then they lay down in a quiet room and they were testing out this thing where your brain will just start to give you visual, and everybody knows, like, if you rub your eyes or something, you'll kind of get the little fireworks in your eyes and that kind of stuff. But your eyes will just start to do that because your brain gets bored and it starts to just generate visual stimulation for you. And then apparently after maybe like 10 minutes of sitting in this kind of environment, you'll start to have auditory hallucinations because your brain's bored. So cool.
Yeah. And the other thing that's good about the sensory depth tanks, as we call them in the hood, is that
the C-Dep tanks
that you run like a 30% chance of becoming a monkey person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And like reverting back in time and inspiring aha videos.
Oh man, the end of that movie is so good. I kind of just want to watch Altered States now.
It's really good, man. I can't even count how many times I've watched that movie.
Maybe my favorite Bob Balaban performance too.
Quality stuff, man.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I wish you hadn't brought that up now, because now I've just got...
Got it on DVD.
I've got it too, but now it's just William Hurt in my head saying, you know, I have seen the beginning of time and it is nothing. And it's so good. Official trippy thriller of the week.
I mean, seriously, like, if you haven't seen Altered States, there's a hole in your cinema knowledge. That is a must view film.
Yeah. I was sitting here the whole time thinking in my head that I was hearing Altered States but seeing Jacob's Ladder, and
also excellent.
Also excellent movie. Yes. And but then I just realized that it Altered States and what it is, and yes, it's really awesome.
The scene where the chick turns into sand and then slowly blows away in front of him, that's some good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name? Blair Butler?
Yeah. Yeah, she was in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and then kind of just disappeared.
She was in Continental Divide with John Belushi.
Oh my god, yes, with John Belushi. Yeah. That's actually a pretty underrated flick, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely Belushi at a point where it's like, oh, he's probably going to die soon.
It's a romantic comedy thing too, you know. Like, there's nothing Animal House or, you know, Blues Brothers about it, but it's decent.
You know, I hate to turn our attention to video games.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. This show becomes less and less about video games every week.
For the no people who sat through all this stuff so far.
The ones who are like, Altered States.
Now that everybody's gone, let's switch over to what you're here for.
Yeah. Now I feel more relaxed. It's like, okay, it's just us now.
The pressure's gone.
Yeah. All right. I'm feeling groovy. All right. Let's let's talk about some video games. Let's talk about what we've been playing this week, and a quick roll of the die here, my old D20, just 0 through 9, it's going to be Justin, and then 10 through 20, obviously, John Dolan, the other portion of our show, and here we go. Justin, I'll be damned. Justin, what have you been playing this week?
I cast Magic Missile.
It doesn't matter. I'm the dungeon master. Your magic missile dissipates.
Can you roll the dice to see if I'm getting laid?
You have...
like, currently?
Yeah. It just says outlook not so good, which is weird because it's a die.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful Dan Harmon sketch from years and years and years ago where it's like him playing Dungeons and Dragons with a couple friends. And it's their comedy group, The Dead Alewives. But there was a video game manufacturer who... I can't remember what three series of games, but there was a secret in the game where it would play the audio from that sketch, but they had animated characters from several different of their games to the sketch, and it is just hilarious because it's the guys, you know, they just really butcher the Dungeons and Dragons and how it actually works, and it's hilarious.
Rick and Morty fame?
Rick and Morty, Community, you name it.
Harmontown.
I have not been playing that much, much in the way of new games. Still play Insurgency when I want a little, you know, little pick me up, just kind of shoot some dudes. I did, however, get to play some of the new DayZ patch earlier today for about 30 minutes. This is the 0.60 patch that is supposed to be like, you know, the second coming. It's the new renderer, so the performance improvements that have been promised for years and years are finally come to fruition. I got into the game. I got to the outskirts of Cherno, which has been like doubled in size in this patch, and my frames were a constant 60 frames per second. At no point during my play did I dip below 60 frames per second.
Wow.
And that is... I just had a grin on my face. I mean, you know, previously the player movement, which is still being worked on, was extremely clunky, like going in and out of doors and trying to do anything that was precise. It just wasn't going to happen unless you were walking. Now, everything being so smooth, it's just the control of the player just feels a lot better. That is something still, though, they're redoing the whole system on how the engine handles the player animations and controls. So that's going to get even better, which is really cool. The new renderer, it changes some of the weather effects. So there's like a rolling fog, and the servers that are up now are all time accelerated. So I got to see like sunset and sunrise. There's an actual like legitimate moon now that, you know, that looks like a real moon, as a, like before it didn't look very good. The skies in Arma 2 are not the best. And that's what they took the skies from before. The fog is really awesome. Really, really adds to the feel of kind of the post-apocalyptic kind of wasteland where you're rolling through the city and there's a little kind of low fog everywhere, and it dissipates. It's more, you know, heavier in the morning. But it was, I mean, I've played DayZ for a very, very long time, and it was honestly the best 30 minutes of DayZ I've played in the past 2 years, it feels like.
Let me ask one question.
Yes.
Are there zombies?
I personally did not run into any. But that does not mean there aren't zombies. I know in the preview video for this build, they showed off zombies and new zombies. They've taken away the Dean Hall character that where you can select him as a character, and they've turned him into a zombie. So now it is possible that you will run into a Dean Hall zombie in DayZ, which is, I think, pretty fun. Get to kill the guy who, you know, gave us DayZ and gave us a lot of heartache.
So by doubled the size of Cherno, like the map is still like the original map size. They just added more buildings to it.
They have they've added a ton of buildings. They've expanded the cargo like dock area to have what would be more like a modern shipping yard. So there's, you know, lanes and like the big cranes and a whole bunch of shipping containers. They've added some roundabouts to Cherno. If you hop on the DayZ subreddit, someone did like a bird's eye view, where it's like old Cherno, new Cherno, and just kind of a fade between them. And it is significantly a bigger play area just for that one city. It is pretty cool. I ran into a bunch of buildings that I, A, either had never seen before, B, had been closed before, had been just like a couple of those buildings that are left that you just can't go into. I was able to find a weapon, and now weapons will spawn randomly with ammo and with a magazine, and attachments. So you might find, you know, a like one of the 22, like the sporter rifle, but it might already have a scope on it and might already have a 20-round magazine attached to it, which is really, really awesome that they've added, like, all that different kind of randomness to it. And even, like, I found a shirt in a building, and in the pocket of that shirt was, you know, like, some beef jerky. So
that's cool.
There's a lot more depth to the loot system, it seems like, now. And they're really, I think they're getting to a good spot with all that stuff, which is the core mechanics of the game. And so as soon as, like, all that stuff is fluid and fleshed out, we're just going to see all the new content, you know, hopefully rush in. But, you know, we've been in this position before.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we've gotten our hopes up.
not again, Daisy. You're not going to sucker me in again. Like, once you tell me, like, oh, yeah, the stuff's back, everything's cool, I'm back in. But yeah. I can't go down that route. I've been hurt too many times.
No, I feel you. Right now, you literally can't get into a server.
They're all full. I tried for probably 30 minutes just sitting there randomly clicking on servers, and every time I got a joining game, I got it kicked back out. So
yeah, me too. I feel like they could have prepared for that a little bit better. They said there are 48 experimental servers up right now. Hmm. That's worldwide. I was able to see about 22. That was because I was sorting them or filtering them by a ping that was actually reasonable to play with. So none of the, like, UK servers were showing up or Germany. Mm. There are literally two first person servers that are going for, like, US players right now, and they're just like, you can't get into it.
Yeah, because it's 50 capped at 50 players.
Yeah, 50 for each, and there was something like there's like double or triple the amount of people playing DayZ today as opposed to yesterday. Yeah.
Like, we should run our own server.
Yeah, that wasn't. Like, you know,
you can tell he's thinking about it.
I've thought about it.
Oh, man.
It is a possibility that I will fire something back up. I don't think it'll be anything like what we used to have. I think I would go straight private hive and keep it to a fairly low number of people so that once zombies are in, it could be a lot of fun just to group up with, you know, the us and go play. I don't know. It's just hard to run a server and get a community of people and police that. And I think until DayZ is done and I see admin tools, probably won't be convinced to start a server again, because it was just like pulling teeth to manage that server.
And it's almost, I mean, when you think about how easy it is to just go hop on somebody else's server and play, like,
yeah,
it was never hard for all of us to get on a server and play together, because you just go find one that, you know, was half full, or, you know, and even some of the low ping servers we used to play on still work pretty good. So
yeah. I mean, there's a plethora of servers out there. So I don't think there needs to be one more right now.
Yeah. Did you run into any other players?
I did not. Mm. And it was full, and I was heading from the west over towards Cherno. So I was, like, on the train tracks, and I never saw anybody. I went from night to day, and that transition was really awesome with kind of the way the clouds and the fog and stuff works. But, yeah, I thought for sure that I would at least see another person in the distance at least, but no, nothing. Mm. I did find a rifle with ammo in it, like, as soon as I started, and right where I spawned, someone had crashed a car, and it was night, and they had left the lights on, so I spawned That's in, cool. and I looked to my left, and there's a car with the lights on, and I immediately was just like, you know how just apprehensive you get in DayZ when it's just one of those, like, this thing shouldn't be here like that, you know? There's probably someone watching this thing.
Yeah.
And they're going to kill me.
That's what's weird about that game. I mean, just like a single shot fired. And one of the things that DayZ always did really good was the distance of sounds, you know, sound like you could tell, oh man, that's really far away, or, oh shit, that was pretty close. I need to be careful. And every time you boot up that game and you're a fresh spawn and you hear like a couple of gunshots, you're just like, oh, fuck. there's that game gets something, you know, that feeling right like no other game does. So I hope they they can kind of recreate the magic.
I hope so, too. Past Daisy, I am so patiently awaiting my HTC Vive in the mail tomorrow. I have got Hover Junkers. I got Tilt Brush. I got... what else we got?
Hover Junkers seems cool. What I've seen of that game makes me excited to play it.
What is that one all about? I don't know anything about that one.
You're flying around on sort of like a hover, I don't want to kind of say like a barge type thing. It's kind of a flat top.
Yeah, like the skiffs from Return of the Jedi, only much smaller and shittier.
Yes. And the goal of the game is you're flying around this thing. In your right hand, you have a projectile-based weapon, whether it be it's a shotgun, it's a revolver, I think you have. They've added a couple other weapons. And then with your left hand, you have like an orb that lets you strafe the boat you're on. And you're basically just floating around this world looking for other players and trying to shoot them. And you, at the beginning of the round, you get some components to put some defenses up on your barge type area. So basically how the game goes is, see the guy in the distance, basically ram into each other, and then you're in a little firefight, you know, bending down behind these barricades, putting your gun up over it, or popping out trying to kill the other player. And then when they die, they respawn, and you kind of keep going. You can play it with two people, where one person controls the movement, and the other person is solely there to shoot, you know, walk around on the barge and shoot weapons, which I think is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, that seems like a cool idea.
Yeah. My buddy Sean got his Vive in the mail last Friday, and he got it all set up, and he played Hover Junkers, and he said for about 15 minutes, and he felt like he was going to throw up. Because he was just really, really, really dizzy. He said that's the only game so far that he's played that has done that to him. And I think that might have something to do with there aren't a lot of games where you're shooting and controlling movement at the same time. And that might just take a little bit of getting used to.
Let's take some Dramamine before you strap in, man.
Yeah.
Or maybe just slip a tampon in. Whatever.
Oh, man.
What?
You know Justin's a bad guy.
Yeah. No, I got the cup thing.
The bucket.
Yeah.
Sponge. Is there a sponge? Are we talking about things that make sense?
I don't know. Past that, I've got Fantastic Contraption, which these are games that come in the Vive bundle, and Job Simulator, which, if you haven't checked out Job Simulator, that looks like a lot of fun.
That seems cool.
I think it seems more fun and quirky than, like, here's a game I'm going to play for a really long time, but there's just, like, some really fun stuff you can do. Like, at your desk, you have a copy machine, and you're in the game, your Vive controllers are hands. They just look like little white Mickey Mouse gloves. Mickey Mouse looking type gloves. And if you put your hand on the copier and copy it, it prints another hand out. And then if you stick your face on the copier and scan it, it prints a brain out. So there's just like all these weird, quirky little things they've added into that that you can explore and kind of, you know, find on your own, which seems like fun. I have spent a lot of time in the past couple of days figuring out how I'm going to get all this set up and what room of my house is about to be torn asunder.
You're knocking down walls tonight?
No, I have my room where my computer is, but I have like a love seat in here and some shelving. So I think I might put the love seat in the basement for a little while. That way I can actually walk around a little bit more. Right now I think I have like the minimal amount of free space, floor space that will let me do like room scale games. I think I can do Hover Junkers, but I may need just like a tiny bit, a little more space to like get it all working properly. But you know, you have to like mount things to your wall with the Vive. It comes with these the base stations, the lighthouse stations that spit out the lasers for the tracking. And I don't really want to put any holes in the wall because I'm renting. So my solution is to get shower rods, floor to ceiling, and then a mount that clips to that shower rod. And then you screw the lighthouse stations into those mounts. That way, if I ever want to take it somewhere, I can just undo that whole thing and put it in the car. And then whatever place I get to, as long as they have 8-foot ceilings, I can just put the shower rod up, extend it, and it's a good solid base.
Oh, so, very MacGyver-esque.
I all read it. It's all from Reddit. There's some really, really awesome things people are doing to kind of get their vibes set up in the most unobtrusive ways possible. You know, just not putting holes in your walls and not having stuff everywhere. So I've got like cable extensions and really kind of going all out for it to try and make it look as nice as possible too. So I've been doing a lot of planning for that the past couple weeks. Or days.
You want all the shit that you're not going to be able to see while you're in VR to look nice, you know?
Yes. Exactly.
I think that's irony.
I think you're right.
I also don't want to like run into a bunch of cables and wires and stuff like that. So
you need to get some sort of like pulley system running on the ceiling for that thing.
You know, a couple of people have put some stuff up like that, and basically,
crazy.
One guy was like, "Don't do this." I almost choked myself. Where he started walking in circles and got it like wrapped around his neck.
I didn't even think about that. We keep talking about the, you know, first person to like die of sexual exhaustion in VR, but now it's just going to be a rash of people hanging themselves.
People are going to think it's autoerotic asphyxiation, but it's really just someone was really trying to like beat, you know, hover drunkers.
You know, the real bitch would be if you were looking at VR porn and then accidentally strangled yourself.
Yes.
And you would catch a bad rap.
In those final fleeting moments, you realize that autoerotic asphyxiation is actually pretty cool. Right.
And this is how I'm going to be remembered.
Like, it's actually pretty cool, and you know what? Fuck it.
You know,
I'm going out.
Here's the picture that's gonna eventually make its way to the net in some form is a wife / girlfriend or mate, spouse, if you will, doing the cell phone pic of their loved one just rubbing one out with one of those headsets on and just doesn't realize they're being watched. That's happening.
I think any red-blooded American male that gets one of these things needs to invest in one of those
locks.
Lock your door. If your room doesn't lock. You need to get one of those little like pry bars that goes under the doorknob. So like no one's getting in.
Right.
Unless they take like an axe to the door.
The door club, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then, of course, like the fire department has to axe the door in to find your dead body strangled to death as you're watching virtual porn.
This is all going to happen. There should be a warning label on the box because it's already going to happen.
We've just identified an accessories market, man. Industrial VR locks.
That is one thing, with a lot of the games where you have guns, people are kind of saying, you know, hey, we need like a gun peripheral, you know, something where you can just take these controllers and, you know, just stick it into some kind of plastic body. And I was like, man, if only I had bought a 3D printer when a couple of people I knew were trying to like, a couple of friends and I were trying to pull money together and buy one. I was like, I could have just made one of those things.
I have a Glock. They look just like a Glock pistol. Controller housings for my Wii controllers.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah. So when you're playing a game where you got to shoot at the screen, you're just holding a Glock in your hand, shooting at the screen. Yeah.
I like that.
They're like $4. That's stupid. My son sit up upstairs with Glocks and shoot chickens in this stupid game on the TV, you know.
It's a good lesson that guns are harmless and fun.
It's fun. Yeah, point them at the TV, point them at chickens, whatever. Just guns.
Your parents, strangers.
It's fine. It's fine.
All right. anything else, Justin, other than your prep work for your eventual demise?
No, that's really it. I'm just keeping my eyes out on, whatever really, really awesome games are coming out for VR, so I'm really hoping that something really, really amazing comes out in the next month or two. I'm just really looking forward to getting that vibe.
All right. Johnny Dolan.
Yes, sir.
What about you?
I've heard some stuff.
This guy's been turning on all of his games for at least like 5 or 10 minutes at a time.
I was playing some stuff this evening, and it was just the constant notifications of like, he's playing what? Well, that's a good game. What is it? He's playing Fallout and then Tomb Raider back to back? All right.
I was testing settings on the new computer still. So. I did all those things. I can play Fallout 4 on Ultra settings now, which looks really pretty. I haven't actually played much of it. I just confirmed that it's going to work great once I get to it. I did play, and I can't stop playing this game, I played about 25 hours of Mad Max.
Nice.
I think I may have like found my game where it's just the game that I like to play a lot. Like, I always talk about, man, I wish I could, you know, really get into EVE Online, or I wish I could really do this thing. And the only other game I've ever had this experience with was Minecraft, where I could just turn it on, play it, and just kind of, like, I'm playing Minecraft. I'm chilling out. Diablo is close, but something about Mad Max, man, I can get in there, and even though a lot of the missions are just really repetitive and kind of tedious, I just love every bit of it, and I've just been playing a ton of it. And the fact that it runs at 60 frames per second on my new computer doesn't hurt at all. But like, I was playing it the other night, and I had 3 of those big electrical storms in about an hour. And like, those things are treacherous, but I would just drive until I could find a place to hide, and I just stand there and watch the storm roll by for 5 minutes because it's just so goddamn gorgeous. So I love that game. It's one of the best video games I've ever played. So,
yeah, that did hit you just right, huh?
Oh, man, I don't know. And it's that universe, like everything about it is great. I've gotten pretty good at the combat system that's in there. Like, a lot of reviews were that it wasn't very deep, but there's, you know, it's simple. It's just a Batman combat system, but it's exactly what I want it to be. Like, it's not too hard to be like a super badass in that game. It's just a matter of, you know, timing your parries and all that kind of stuff. And then it's when you get bored with that, you go do some car combat, and the wasteland is just so cool that it's fun to just drive around in there and see crazy ass Mad Max wasteland shit happen. So
have you beaten the game? Like, are you?
No, I'm about probably 60% through it. I'm playing through it so goddamn slow. Like, I'm probably really far behind in like the story, but I'm like clearing out a lot of the, you know, kind of map points that you can do that aren't really connected to the main story. Like, I'm doing all the, you know, go collect these parts for the stronghold so you can upgrade the stronghold. Like, I've got one of them at 100%. I've got one whole zone in the game has a 0% threat because I've like 100% completed the entire area. And now I've like moved on to the second one, and I'm kind of basically doing the same thing with that. So it's just a world I really, really like to exist in. I can't get enough of that game.
It's definitely better than the one we got in terms of worlds to exist in.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, in this one, I can blow people up with cars and shoot harpoons through their fucking face and drag them around behind my car. I mean, what's not to like? Good stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds like a wonderful world, unlike the one we're currently in, which, for just to put it on the record, is the bad timeline from Back to the Future. Like, I came to that realization today that Trump is Biff Tannen, and this is the movie that has come true. Like, that's the one that got it right.
He's got a casino.
Yeah.
It all works, man.
Yeah.
You know,
follow the numbers. Follow the money.
And this is not Trump related, but it's the funniest thing that's happened politically, I think, recently, was the move where... I think this is going back to last Tuesday, maybe, where Trump won like 5 states and clearly had the path to the nomination. So Ted Cruz naturally announces a running mate and then 6 days later drops out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a cock tease of a politician. Like, you're going to be my vice president. I mean, nothing.
You are fired.
Yeah. It's just, you know, not to step on anybody's political views and whatnot, but watching the Republican race this year has been, you know, it's just like a circus. It's incredible. Yeah. I've never seen the like of it.
It ain't boring. That's for sure.
And often just hysterical.
Yes.
I like head scratchingly weird in a way. Like, you know, the only way it could get stranger is if they just ran a corpse, you know, of just like, here's Ronald Reagan dug up for your edification.
How about vote for him? I think he polls better than most of the candidates.
Yeah. It's just the guys from Weekend at Bernie's with a dead corpse between, the corpse is at the podium, they're on the left and the right, and they're just manipulating this dead corpse, and we're all voting for it because he's got a lot of good points.
You know, he's just a corpse I could sit down and have a beer with.
A corpse, yeah. I can believe in.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him, but I feel like he's a regular corpse, not one of those Washington corpses.
He's a real outsider.
An insider corpse. Yeah, you don't want those. They're the worst.
Yeah. Their policies are as bloated as their intestines. Oh,
man. Right?
I feel like this is the next horror movie from Bo Ransdale. It's like Zombie President or Undead President. Working title.
Sure. You know, Hell to the Corpse. Would that be the title?
Nice.
All right. All right. We'll workshop this later.
Starring Bruce Campbell.
Corpse in Chief. No, it's not good. You're right. I rescind my offer.
Yeah. I mean, there's no bad ideas, but that's not a good one.
How about just corpse? Corpse is kind of a fucked up word.
Yeah, yeah. It strangely turns me on. Ooh. It's sure. My necromantic viewings as a kid. So, anything else?
So you are a Cruise supporter.
My joke about Ted Cruz was that now that he's dropped out of the race, he can get back to his real passion, which is the discovery and consumption of cheese. So
I just love this is my last thing I'll say about politics here, but I love the circus you were referring to. Like the full brunt of it came out when former Speaker of the House John Boehner said somebody, and he'd said this before previously, but he compared Ted Cruz to Lucifer. And then when pressed on the point, said, yeah, he's the most miserable son of a bitch I've ever worked with.
That feels right. Yeah. I mean,
it's just comical, yeah. Man. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, what we need is a corpse. Or what was the Michael Moore ran a ficus for like city council and it won? We could do that.
Right. Inanimate carbon rod from The Simpsons.
Yeah. There you go. It's got my vote.
Sure. In Rod We Trust.
In Rod We Trust.
I'm going to ride in Venom Supreme.
Are you talking about the Eddie Brock symbiote?
No, Venom Supreme's like that guy who always runs for president.
Oh.
Who has like a boot on his head.
I thought you were talking about comics. I was about to get excited.
No.
Are you talking about Venom? We've never had a symbiote as president.
Oh, man.
So what else have you been playing, John?
Once again, we've gone off the rails. I played the new Rocket League expansion, Hoops.
Yeah, the Hoops. Basketball style. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun, just like everything else in Rocket League. They've changed it up a little bit from their only previous variant was the hockey one, and that was like you were playing on the exact same fields as the soccer version of Rocket League with the hockey one, but it was just a puck instead of a ball, so the physics of, you know, the bounce were a lot different. But with the Hoops variant, the field is a lot shorter, like the length is much shorter. I think the width is probably about the same. And then also the ceiling is not as tall. So there's less wall to drive up. And it also leads to the basketball bouncing off of the ceiling a lot when you're hitting it really hard. The one thing they did that was really cool, so there's a giant basketball hoop at either end and you're using your car to bash the ball into it. So there's another, you know, it's the physics of it are different from both previous variants, which was soccer and the hockey puck. Now you have to actually shoot it up into a hoop that is, it's huge. It takes up, I don't know, maybe a good third of the end of the court on either end. And it's about, maybe three, like if you stacked your car, like the car that you're controlling in the game, if you stacked it like three high, that's about how tall the hoop is off the ground. But it has this cool mechanic where outside of the hoop, there's this very sharp lip that rises up from the floor to the hoop. And if the ball hits that, it's like a shield. It repels the ball. The ball will bounce. It will kind of roll up that sharp thing and kind of pop up in the air right in front of the hoop. But the angle of it keeps it from rolling up there and just rolling into the hoop. Like it, if it hits it, you know, at ground level and rolls up, it will always kind of pop straight up in the air or slightly back away from the hoop. But you, as the player, can drive through that incline around the hoop. It does not impede your progress at all. So you can't jump off of it in the same way that the ball does. So you can then pass underneath the hoop, and you can do things like if somebody knocks the ball up and bounces and does like a bank shot off the wall, you can drive under the hoop, jump up through the hoop, and basically goaltend the ball back out of the hoop before once it passes completely through the plane of the hoop itself. That is considered a score. And it works great. It's super fun. It was 2-on-2. I don't know if there's a variant that's a 3-on-3. It might get really crowded with six cars playing at once. But yeah, once again, fucking Rocket League, just knocking it out of the park. It's just...
And it's always a free update.
Yeah, free update. And it's just so easy to just turn that game on, play, you know, 4 or 5 games, put it down, go make some dinner, come back, play a couple more games. It's just super fun. So it's... And even more so with friends. So if you're waiting for another reason to pick up Rocket League,
there's never been a better time.
Oh man, it's just so much fun. It's just one of those, it's going to have a super long lifetime. They've keep coming up with new stuff. They keep putting all kinds of new shit in there that you can download, you know, new little trinkets you can win and car bodies and things like that. And there's certain, you know, a good amount of stuff that you could pay actual money for in there if you wanted it as well, but it is by no means in your face at all. Like, you would actually have to go hunt down how to spend more money in that game if you wanted to do that. There's no ads or anything popping up. But yeah, just super fun to play still. And the new variant is just kind of adds more to it, so you can kind of switch it up. It's great.
I know there are some players in the Elite Dangerous community that are begging the devs, because there's a buggy in Elite Dangerous now, so you can land on planets.
Oh, that's right.
And, and they are begging the devs to allow you to buy a ball and release it from your little buggy once you get on the planet and be able to play like Rocket League with people
on the planet. That sounds fun.
Yeah, which honestly, if they put that in there, it's such a throwaway kind of thing that you could do. It would spawn like an entire like league of games inside of Elite Dangerous. Like, you know what I mean? There would be like tournaments and people would fly to, you know, this is the planet where, you know, we play this, you know, this game. And I think that would be such a crazy thing to add. That would
Blitzball.
It'd be really awesome to see something get as huge as Eve, where inside the game there are leagues or games, and you know, if you have this huge universe where people are migrating or going to specific places because they're the hotbed for, you know, this is where everyone plays, you know, this game, or this is where everyone plays that game. It would be pretty cool to see something like that.
I agree 100%. That would be awesome. I feel like Elite Dangerous is so far from that kind of depth, though.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they might get there. Certainly, that game's still extremely in development. I think people give it a lot of crap for being pretty empty, but I think you can I think there's ways to have fun in that game, and I think the older Elite, it's so much like the older Elite games in that you really need to plan out what you're going to do. You need to like sit down with a pen and paper and say, I'm going from point A to point B, and here's how I get there. And it's more of that game's more like Eve, where some of it is like a spreadsheet simulator where you're just like, oh, if I'm trying to what station can I go to get the best gear? How do I get there? To me, that's part of the fun of that game. And I think some people just want to pop in and blow stuff up, and they expect to be able to do that within, you know, an hour of playing the game, when you actually have to play it and, you know, build up your money and get a nice ship.
Yeah, that game is an investment, man.
It is. I hate that I haven't consistently played it since a lot of like trading tools used to be way, way back. They had an API where you could actually plug into the trading information of the entire universe and actually plan out your trade routes and literally maximize your profit. Now it's more of someone goes to a station, they buy something, they go to a website, and they'll enter the value they got for it there. So it's all sort of crowdsourced. Whereas before, you just like hit a button to refresh all the data, and you're like, I want to buy this thing. I'm here. And it will tell you exactly what to do to get the most money and exactly where to go, which is kind of a little bit cheating, I guess.
Yeah. Did Frontier disable that? Like the API? Or
they made it where those few applications couldn't tap into that information anymore. Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess. You want your economy to be a little more realistic than that. Although, you know, in the real world, people would... You know, maybe that would be some sort of a stock exchange. So the way that works in Eve is really interesting because it's part of how part of what determines how much information you can see is your skill level, and you have to train the skills up. Like if you were sitting in like Jita, which is one of the most popular, you know, main kind of stations in the entire game. As like an entry level player, you could only see information like 10 systems away, like 10 jumps away. And as you train your skills along like the trader route, you'll be able to see materials available in systems that are further away. And then you will be able to train a skill where you can remotely list things for sale on, you know, planets that are, you know, 20 jumps away from where you are currently. And as long as you have material to like move around, it will let you set up transactions like that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things Eve's got going for it. Like that whole like real, you know, player sourced economy just fucking works in Eve. It's amazing. And as games get more complicated, and you know, these types of games get more popular, and you know, something like Elite Dangerous is going to start adding more depth. When they start kind of going down the road that Eve has started, you're going to get just some crazy game. I mean, like Star Citizen seems like it's doing the same thing where it's just going to be, what do you guys want to do today in Star Citizen? Because there's like 500 different things we could do to have fun, you know?
Yeah, and Star Citizen already has a game, another game built into like a recreational sports game that's like that Ender's game. Like it's like a sphere, like an arena that's a sphere, and you have zero G, and you have these different obstacles you can hide behind, and you have to, I think, get, I don't know if you have to, like, there's some kind of goal on either side, and it's like this whole kind of like hoverball type thing that they've already planned for the game that I think is, yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty crazy. Yeah,
that shit is getting nuts. Yeah. 10 years from now, those kind of games are just going to be unbelievable. So
we'll be playing them on the moon.
That's right.
I'm going to Mars. I'm going to Elon Musk's Mars.
Brought to you by Elon Musk.
Brought to you by Elon Musk. Oh, you can't claim a planet? Come and get me.
Yeah, come and take it. It's mine now.
Captain Elon Musk.
Yep.
My robot. My like. Robotic Tesla androids will destroy you before you can even get close to me.
This is really just a Jonathan Coulton song waiting to happen.
It really is. It really is. I'm surprised that Elon Musk didn't hire him to write a Tesla song.
To be his personal bard. Just to follow him around and sing songs of his doings.
I can't believe that some gazillionaire hasn't just used their money to like set up a system of lasers and just like write their name on the face of the moon with them.
I find that to be a bit of a bummer, actually. I want to live in a world where that's just a thing that happened.
Well, you know, I mean, Trump hasn't had access to that level of laser technology yet, but you know, as soon as he gets his hands on some of that DARPA stuff, maybe some of that, we've got, you know, the Navy's doing some cool stuff with lasers. You know, I think he'll make it happen, you know.
Some sort of a low frequency vibration weapon that can just alter the, you know, the face of the moon from 300,000 miles away, just beaming sound waves at it and knock some rocks around so they spell out Trump.
My first day in office, we're going to have the biggest, the classiest Trump on the moon. You won't believe how beautiful it is. And who's going to pay for it? That's right, Mexico.
The Martians. Oh, yeah, right. They're real.
The moon people are going to pay for it.
Here's all the Area 51 stuff. Moon people are real.
We're going to
get used to it.
We're going to build a wall against Mars. We don't want the Martians. Some of them, I've heard, are good people.
Kind of build a frontier like the last Starfighter.
Oh,
keep the Martians away.
The Kodan Armada, sure.
The Kodan Armada. That was quite possibly my favorite movie when I was a young impressionable.
I just watched it a couple weeks ago.
You can do worse.
Yeah.
They are maybe doing a sequel to it.
I had heard about this, yeah.
Seth Rogen, for years and years and years, has always said that he wanted to do another one, that, you know, is just a movie that he really likes. And the guy who wrote the original Last Starfighter has just been, like, adamantly against it. But I guess apparently him and Seth Rogen got in the same room. I would imagine he had some really good ideas. And at least the last I heard, they were in some, it was past, you know, vehemently denying that it's ever going to happen, that maybe they're actually, you know, in talks.
Give me some of that. Yeah. I like Seth Rogen does some good shit, so.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a classic movie. It's one of my favorites.
The other thing I played a whole bunch of when I wasn't playing Mad Max was they released the second episode of the new Hitman game. I probably put about 15 hours into that. The new level is called Sapienza. It is like an Italian villa on the ocean. There's a giant mansion. You have two targets in the mansion, one of which is he works for some bio company he's developing some virus that can like specifically target people through their DNA or something like that. So you could create this virus, unleash it upon the world, and it would only kill the people that you specified in this virus. So you were hired to go in and kill this guy. In addition to killing that guy, there is a woman who is kind of his number one, who they're worried that if he dies, she could theoretically take over his work. This map is fucking crazy in this game. It's huge. It's goddamn huge, and there's so much shit on it, and there's people everywhere, and there's not just this mansion you're trying to break into. There is this whole city, and it must be, it's got to be like 20 blocks of kind of Italian villa, you know, small little stone buildings, and there's like coffee shops, and there's people sitting outside the coffee shop drinking coffee and having cake and whatever, and you can go in the coffee shop, and then you can fucking strangle out a waiter and put on his fucking uniform and go do hitman shit. And there's like a ruined castle that's kind of on the grounds of the mansion, and you can go in through that way. There's a church where you can go like choke out the priest and put on his uniform, and you're walking around in town and everybody's like, hey Padre, how's it going, man? It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, everything I've read has said like the first episode was good, but this one has just blown up.
It's phenomenal, man. I mean, so in the basement of this mansion is the lab where this guy's doing it. So you have three objectives on the main story part of this level, and it's assassinate the two people and then also destroy the virus, which is in this kind of bunker in the basement. And, you know, the first time I played through it, I probably died. Like, I just kept trying to, you know, push and keep going forward on the same game save. And when I die, I just revert back to my last save and try again from, you know, where I left off. That was in it like a good spot before everything went to hell. And it probably took me 6 or 7 hours of playing to get all three objectives done, just going in blind. I didn't really use any of the kind of the handholdy stuff that it's got in there, the kind of tutorialized part of it where, you know, you'll find a group of people talking and it will reveal, oh, maybe I can go to this door, and then you follow like a waypoint that shows up in the world. And I kind of just winged it and ended up having this just crazy experience where like I spawned in the town square, and you're sitting on a park bench and you're reading a newspaper. And there, one, so one of the new additions to this is like you can blend in at specific areas. So when you're sitting on a park bench, you're just reading the newspaper, you're in like blend mode, and it's like far less likely that someone will see you. Like even if they're actively kind of hunting for you, you can do these things that will lower your threat way down. Like if you're dressed up as a cook and you're in the kitchen, you can go over and like start stirring the soup or like wiping down the counter or like chopping vegetables or something like that. And you'll be like less interesting to guards who are, you know, currently searching for you or searching for something. But I started off in this main square and I walked towards the front of the mansion and the guy's like, no, you can't fucking come in here. So I like turn left and you can see down the road, like way down the road, there's this delivery van that's kind of crashed on the side of the road and the driver is out and he's on his cell phone. And on the other side of the road, there's some guy who's like leaning over a bicyclist that they hit. And he's like talking to the guy. And so you can go over and choke out the guy who's on the cell phone and you can take his delivery outfit and then you can pick up some flowers. So I do that, walk back to the front gate. And the guys are like, oh, flower delivery. Sure thing, man. And you start walking in and it's and then a prompt pops up that says, get frisked. And you have to hold down the A button to like consent to a frisk or the guys will start to get pissed off. But I'm still carrying my pistol. So, you know, the first time I didn't even fucking think of it. I was like, yeah, go ahead and frisk me. I'm just carrying like 12 guns. No problem. They didn't like that very much. They get all pissed off. They draw their guns. I get killed. I die. So I respawn, do the same thing. But then what started happening was even though I had the flowers now and I got like, I dropped my gun in a trash can so they wouldn't, that was like the one thing that was pissing them off. I was carrying, still carrying like fiber wire and a couple other things I could kill people with, but no guns. So they let me through the gate. So, yeah, so they're no like, guns. Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a gun, but there's a garrote, there's some poison in his pocket.
this piano wire checks out. A list
of names that are our bosses as it turns out, but all that checks out.
But yeah, so I get through the front door and you can, one of the ways you can assassinate the first guy, the main guy is, you can go, place the flowers on his mother's grave, which is on the grounds on the mansion. And while he's there paying respects over his mother's grave, you can murder him.
Yes.
And stick him in the wood chipper.
Yeah. That's got- Oh,
I wonder.
So you can kill him at his mother's grave and then Fargo him?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. This game already sounds great.
You can put him in a box. You can throw him off the cliff into the ocean. So the first time I did it, I just choked him out. Like I hid in there was like a conveniently placed hitman sized box right near the grave site. So I got in that and you can peek out the lid and the dude comes over and he starts paying respects at the grave and I get out and choke him and then drag him over to the ledge and kick him over the edge thinking, yeah, he's going in the fucking ocean. And I start walking away and immediately on the screen, big block letter says body found. So I walk back over and I look over the edge and there's a whole bunch of guards all milling around down there. And I'm like, oh shit, I just kicked his body down onto a path. So take off running. I didn't draw any suspicion because nobody saw me do it, but they're still like kind of on a higher alert. And so then one of the mechanics is because I was dressed like a delivery guy, it was really actually a decent disguise because nobody knows what the delivery guy looks like. So in comparison, if I subdue a gardener on the grounds and I put on his gardening uniform, like, you know, they got like a collared shirt with a logo on it and they've got, you know, gloves and all the other gardeners will be suspicious of you because they would know who the other gardeners on the grounds were. Like, not all of them, but like you can tell kind of who the head gardener is because he would know who you are and they get a little dot over their head when you walk past them. Or if you took out a security guard on the grounds, some of the security guards wouldn't care, but there are certainly other ones who are kind of like on main patrols or who are with the targets that are their bodyguards would know that you're not actually a security guard. If you dress up as like a cleaning person or the waiter as well, the head butler at the mansion will know that you're not kosher. So you kind of got to steer clear of him. So I killed that guy, threw him over the edge, replayed it once and put him in the wood chipper. I found the wood chipper after I threw him over the edge the first time. So I reloaded my save and stuck him in the wood chipper. And then you got to try to figure out how to get to this woman. And she's kind of pacing around like the top level of the mansion. And it's a huge pain in the ass. So like by the time I got anywhere near her, I had like changed disguises like three times. Like I was a part of the wait staff in the house, like a butler in the house. And then I was Gardner, and I couldn't figure out how to fucking get close to her. So I just left the mansion and went walking around and found, like, I don't know, like a half a mile away or something, sitting on a bench. There was some guy sleeping and he had a dot over his head. So I threw a quarter at his face. And he wakes up and gets on a phone call and says, oh, yeah, okay, so-and-so, I'll come meet you down at the dock. And he's actually calling the woman that I was just trying to assassinate. So he goes walking towards this meeting they're going to have on the dock. I kill him, take his clothes, go meet the woman. She wants to have a private meeting about some, you know, shady business. And we go in this alley, and then I finally get the killer. So it, like, wasn't even in the mansion at all. Like, I just couldn't figure out the path to get to her in the mansion, but just by accident discovered another way to, like, lure her outside where I could kill her. And it just keeps going on and on from there. There's, like, I haven't even figured out the path you could take to use the priest costume to go, you know, do something with that. Like, I'm sure you could lead him over to this church. I did climb up the bell tower in the church, and I found out that you can drop the bell. And it goes crashing down, and anybody standing down below, it gets killed. So there's obviously a way to do something that way. There's all these underground tunnels that go into this lab. There's like a beach with like beachgoers down on it. There's hundreds and hundreds of people walking around in the street too. It's just crazy. You can go into apartments. I went into one apartment, and just it was a gardener was like sitting in there, and he's like, "Hey man, you can't be in here." So I shot him in the face. Took his uniform, sure, and then sure. he had a key card to get into the mansion. So instead of all the shit I went through with the delivery guy, now every time I play it, I know where this apartment is. If I want to try that method, I can just go over to this apartment, subdue this gardener, get his card key, get his uniform, and then I can just go walk in the fucking door because I don't have to fart around with the front gate anymore and getting frisked. So then I just found a way to bring my weapons in. There's just tons to do, and I haven't even discovered everything that you can do in there. There's... after I'd played through it a couple times, I went looking for like, oh, I wonder what else is in here, you know, online. And there's one apartment you can go into where the person who is in there is the brother of the woman that you're trying to assassinate. And she's apparently gotten him a job as a assistant cook at the mansion. But you go into his apartment and, there's like a computer desk and a big monitor on the computer, and there's like Mountain. What, obviously they're not Mountain Dew cans, but they look like Mountain Dew cans, and there's bags of what looks like Cheetos laying all over the place. And on the monitor of his computer is Hitman Absolution.
That's funny.
So he's late for work because he's sitting at home playing Hitman, which is hilarious.
This sounds like Blood Money on crack. I really like that.
It's fucking great. It's such a good game. So I ended up, you could buy it. $14.99 is the first mission and kind of the base game with the tutorials and all that stuff. And then Sapienza, the new kind of part two, I think there's four total, the base game and then three extra missions that they're going to be putting in. Each of those is $9.99 above and beyond the original $14 that you paid. Or you can just do the upgrade, which was an additional... I forget, like 40 something bucks. So I just did that upgrade because I'm having so much fun with it. I want to see the rest of this game. So save myself a couple of bucks in the long run by, you know, if it's something you're into, just buy the full game up front and you'll save $5. Or, you know, you can probably find a deal on Games Deal or something like that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, that game's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's one that I continue to be tempted by. And just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet, mostly just because I haven't had the time to sit down. And that's a game that I don't want to play for 15 minutes, you know? I want to
I had a session where I played it for like 6 hours straight. It was just like there's no reason to stop playing this game. I was having such a good time. And I honestly, I don't think there's going to be, because of the way that they're releasing it, because of this episodic style that they're putting it out in, it's not going to be cheap for a while. Probably till the end of summer, like it's going to be the first time you'll see maybe a discount on it, unless you can find it on some, you know, some site where like the whole main game is discounted, you know, $5 or $10 or something like that. But I really don't foresee that happening. It seems really popular. It's getting really good reviews. When it first came out, when I first played the new level, the Sapienza, there were some performance issues. It was pretty bad. Even on my new computer, I was a little disappointed because I was getting maybe 15, 20 frames per second. I was having, you know, a hell of a time trying to figure out, should I turn on VSync? Like, I was getting a lot of tearing, a lot of VSync tearing. And I went onto the forums, and like everybody was bitching about it. Like, this is fucked. This, the optimization on this is garbage. It's not working. I've got this sweet rig. So a lot of people are having the same problem. They put out a patch like 2 days later, and it plays like fucking butter. I was getting 50, 60 frames per second, not having any of the problems that I was having. So whatever it was, they patched it out. So
All right. That, again, that game continues to be one that initially I had little interest in, and every time I hear someone talk about playing it, or I see some of the gameplay, it seems cooler and cooler each time.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It is a really, really a good Hitman game. All right. So,
well, what else you got?
I uninstalled Clash Royale from my phone.
That sounds like the opposite of playing something.
Yeah, I unplayed a game. That game finally pissed me off enough where I just uninstalled it. I wasn't having fun with it anymore. Like the it's kind of the initial complaint that I had. Like I was getting into the, oh well, he just played this card, that means I need to do one of these, and I was kind of enjoying that part of it for a while, but it's not very deep. And it gets a little frustrating because, you know, the randomness that the cards show up, and sometimes you get player match with someone who's just way out of your league. Like, you don't have the cards that they have, so, or you don't have like the counter to the cards that they have, I think is the most frustrating part. And the card drops are so fucking slow in that game. Like, you get tons of shit that you don't need. And, you know, the, like, I just want to get a full like base set of cards so that you can actually, in the tier that it's matchmaking you at, actually compete. You know, because there were some guys who had like the skeleton army where it, you know, spawns like 20 little skeletons.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't have it yet. And I've played a ton of that game and it just hasn't dropped.
See, what you need is the arrows for that.
Ugh, man. Yeah. I mean, it's so obvious that they want you to put money into this game. Like, it just drips it out at like the slowest possible rate, man.
Yeah, that stuff is very gross. And I don't want to put myself in the position of defending that game, because the most I've played it lately, I think I've played two, maybe three matches, and then once a day I'll you know, get the alert like, hey, you've got free chests, and I'll open those up and that's it.
Yeah.
You
know? And that's what I was doing. I got to the point where it was like, oh, okay, I have no chests that are on a countdown timer to be opened right now. So I would play for 10 minutes, win a few games, you know, get a couple of chests in there, set them to unlock, and then turn it off. And at the point where it was getting hard to even just like win a couple of chests, because I kept getting, you know, the matchmaking in that game is a little suspect. I think it could use some tweaks. It's not going to get me to come back to it, but it's.
Yeah. I haven't uninstalled it yet, but I'm a half step away from that, I think.
Yeah. It just, the gameplay mechanic is not fun enough to keep me coming back to it. Yeah. It's like it's the same way I felt about Fallout Shelter. Really liked it at first. It was really fun. But then once I kind of like saw everything it had to offer, and there was kind of, you know, no more progression to be made, it just kind of got boring, you know. And it's the same thing with this. Even though there's more cards, like the basic gameplay is just so basic that there's not enough there. And I know there's a ton of people out there that really like it, and it's pretty popular. You know, and I just like having a game on my phone that's like the, you know, we've said it a million times, I got 5 minutes. Let me just do something here to kind of fill this time, and then I can, you know, kind of get my game fixed. But there wasn't that satisfaction to it. So it's gone.
All right. Anything else other than your uninstallation?
I did check back in on Wreckfest, which is like a physics car racing game. It's started off as just being called the next car game, but they've rebranded it as Wreckfest. And last time I played that was maybe like 6 months ago, and they've had a bunch of updates to it. It's still in early release on Steam. I really wanted just like a demolition game when I bought it, something I could play with my son where he could just smash some cars up. And they've made a lot of improvements to it. As far as like frame rate and things like that, it was pretty sketchy for a while. There's been some graphical improvements. It seems like they're, you know, the cars look really nice. The damage looks really nice on the, and all that shit. But I don't know if they changed it. It feels like the cars move really slow. Like the sense of speed is not how I remembered it from previous builds of the game. And previously it played a lot like Dirt 3. If you've ever played that, that game has a really good sense of speed to it. And this one seems like it's kind of been adjusted so that it's not quite as fast anymore. So I was a little disappointed, but they've made enough improvements on it where I'm still kind of curious to see what's coming next. I don't really know what the release schedule is for it, but it's definitely like a really fun kind of smash them up physics driving game. But you know, early release, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's one of the last, like, you know, early release games that I bought into on Steam before I swore off of it. So
fair enough. Just
check back every once in a while and see how they're doing. Yeah, but that's about it. That's all I've done this week.
I play things. I play video games. I've been in that Ratchet and Clank. Still in some Ratchet and Clank. Haven't finished it yet, but I continue to enjoy that game quite a bit. I'm kind of taking my time with it. Galaxy. I finally, that was one of the free PS Plus games forever ago.
Yeah.
And I like Galaxy a lot.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
That's kind of a cool game.
It really is. And it reminds me a whole lot because of the cinematic moments in it. The breaks are done like episodes of old Japanese cartoons.
Yeah, it reminds me like Voltron and Robotech and shit like that.
Star Blazers is the one that that hits me because I really like Star Blazers and or Battleship Yamamoto. If you want to be a purist.
I was about to call blasphemy on you for calling it that.
Well, when I was a kid, it came on in the afternoons, and it was called Star Blazers then. It was all Americanized. Yeah.
They really messed it up.
Yeah, but yeah, so I've got, I've actually got the box set of that, or one of the seasons, and... one of the big arcs in the story. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this on this show before, but that was in that cartoon, like characters straight up die. And that was the first time I'd ever encountered that in my afternoon cartoon viewing, where it's just like, oh, this character died and they're never coming back. It is the dark inevitability of death. Enjoy your afternoon, kids. So
there's an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, right. And now the Wiggles. I enjoy that game quite a bit. Another game that I will mention is a game called Party Hard, that just came out recently.
I saw you were playing that. I have no idea what that is.
Okay. Is that the Andrew WK game?
Yeah, it is. You're Andrew WK and you're trying to, it's a puzzle game where you put the pieces of your career back together.
You get to
something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Do you get to appear on various Fox News Network talk shows?
You do, but no one takes you seriously.
Okay.
It's kind of a bummer in that way. No, it's okay. If Hotline Miami were slowed down, and the story is that you are a psychopath. And a party is going on next door. And so you climb out of bed and just go murder everyone in that party. And the game, unlike, say, a Hotline Miami, it's not like this revolving door of weapons and so forth. It's more environmental. Like, and it's done in that presentation style where it's that 8/16-bit kind of look. And so the environmental stuff, and it changes, it's randomized every time you play it. So in one level, or the level I'm on right now, you have to kill between, you know, say 40 and 50 people. And there are all kinds of things, like there is a golf cart that you can start the engine on, and it'll run a bunch of people over right outside the party door. You can poison the punch, you can poison food. You can set a stove in the kitchen to explode on a timer. You know, it's stuff like that. So you don't have any weapons other than a knife. So a
Hitman game.
Without any of that kind of depth.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a puzzle game of sorts. On paper, I should love this game because it is murdering random people, which I approve of. There's a mechanic where if you're spotted killing someone, the person who sees you will freak out and go call the cops, but you can hide from the cops by going to the dance floor and hitting the A button and doing a funky dance. Which again, all this sounds great on paper. But as I was playing it, I don't think it's really that great a game. Mm. Unfortunately, I think it's almost a little too slow. And I think that the environmental stuff tends to repeat more than I would like. I wish it were a little more varied. And I tend to see the same things popping up on the same maps over and over. You know, it's okay. But after playing it for a bit, I was like, you know, I should just play Hotline Miami.
It's got a real Leisure Suit Larry look going on here.
Kinda, I guess.
Like a top down.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that angle top down, not quite isometric.
Yeah.
You know, everything's real blocky. You know, again, very, very 16-bit-esque. The music's pretty cool. I just wish it were a better... I wish there were more depth to it than what there is. That's my problem.
We call it pixel art, yeah. Bo.
Oh, well, sorry.
Those of us in the know.
Yeah, I don't go to the museums like some fancy pants around here.
You've never been to the MoMA?
I have seen pictures, and they were very artistic pictures of the MoMA. It's kind of a bummer. I wish I liked it a whole lot more, and I just don't.
Is it supposed to be funny?
It is, and that's another thing, is that I don't think any of that lands real well. You know, like, it's not quite weird enough for my taste. There are so many things about it that are almost really good, and it just doesn't quite gel. You know, and I haven't played it a ton at this point. Like, I've played a couple of the maps, and I don't know. You know, I picked it up for 12, 13 bucks, whatever the Steam price was. It's not an expensive game, but I don't know that I'm necessarily all that inspired to go back to it.
Hmm.
I probably will, just to make sure that I'm not just missing something significant about the gameplay. And it feels a little shallow. Or the kind of game I was hoping it would be. I just wish there were more ways to off people in that game that were a little more fun. You know, basically you're just wandering around and waiting for some of the kids to get drunk and pass out somewhere, and then you go stab them. And, you know, the environmental stuff doesn't reset. So once you've kind of blown your wad on using those environmental weapons and, you know, like, one thing that I thought was cool, I wish there were more of this in the game, but in one of the maps, you can potentially have a group of people who are clearly making drugs, like cooking meth, and you can go light a fire in another room that will call the fire department, and the fire department shows up and has to go through that room, and they see the people cooking meth and call a SWAT team, and the SWAT team takes them all out. And that moment was like, right on, this is great. And that's the only time I've really found that synergy of things. Hmm. And maybe there is, like, I just need to experiment with it a little more and see if I'm just not, it's not clicking for me or something yet. But yeah, I'm not.
How did you find out about this game?
It was something, somebody had mentioned it on the Facebooks. And said that it was really enjoyable. And again, the description of it, I was like, oh, you play a killer who just wants to shut the people next door up. But you use a variety of mechanics to off them in creative ways. That all sounds great. And then I didn't have that experience with the game. Hmm. You know, I found it to ultimately be a bit repetitive and a little dull.
And they can't all be winners.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, if my curiosity is maybe not quite sated, but it's pretty close. If I don't get some more of those SWAT team moments, like that was awesome when I was playing it, and then the rest of it, I haven't been able to make gel for me in that way.
It's got some decent reviews on Steam. It's got 87% approval rating.
Yeah, see, that was the other thing, is that, you know, the reviews of it I saw were really good, and I guess I'm just the outlier here that's like, is this it? Okay. You know, and, you know, at the end of the day, what do I expect for $12? But, you know.
I don't know, there's some pretty goddamn good $12, $15 games out there.
There are some awfully good free ones as well.
It's true.
One of those is a little game called Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
That just released their big Whispers of the Old Gods update.
Mm-hmm. I may have heard something about that.
Yes, I believe this came up on the last episode. Mm-hmm. I have been into that in a big, bad way.
Mm.
And I really, really like the new cards. I also really, really like what they've done with the division of the standard and wild formats.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I think that's really smart, where the standard is just the initial run of cards plus whatever the new stuff is.
It's like the last 2 years of cards, I think, is the way they're doing it. So they actually took out Gnomes and Goblins cards, and they took out the first story mode, Naxxramas. They took out those cards. So you can't use any of those cards in standard.
But the other thing is that you can still play those cards. You just have to do it in the wild mode.
Yeah, so they're still there, but just not in like the, I guess it would be the ranked.
Right. It's just game. How do you want to play this? Yeah. And they also do a pretty clever thing where when that patch came out, when you first sign in and they show you, like, there were some cards that got nerfed or changed or what have you.
Yeah.
And then there was, the innkeeper character pops up and is like, hey, you know, here's what standard is. Here's what wild is. And if you want to play a standard deck, here's the list of your decks, and just click the name. And one of the options is convert to standard, and it will highlight the cards that aren't applicable to the standard deck.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then you can just whip those out of there and replace them with, you know, some of the new cards or, you know, equivalent cards or whatever. And so, yeah, I've been playing that on the regular. And I really, you know, it's one of those games that I'll walk away from a little bit, and then something like this happens, and it's just, you know, it's almost that Diablo moment for me of like, we've been waiting for you all along, Bo. You're the one who left. We've been here.
Did you buy any of the card packs? Any of them?
No, I haven't bought any. I've been doing fairly well with just getting them. Like the Tavern Brawl generates a deck every week. You know, obviously you can play Arena. You know, if you're doing not the daily quest, but if you're doing the quests in any kind of regularity, that generates a lot of gold, which translates into the arena stuff, which translates into decks. And they also give you a pretty good head start where you get three card packs just for logging in. And then if you win a couple of standard matches, they give you five more. And then if you win seven more standard matches, they give you another five.
Yeah.
So,
you can get 13 card packs total, which is nothing to laugh at. That's
pretty good. And, you know, I mean, if you're playing, like I said, with any kind of regularity, like, it's not tough to generate card packs for yourself.
No.
They don't, you know, it's not as skeezy as, say, something like Clash Royale. So, yeah. And I've just been having so much fun playing that. getting my ass handed to me a couple of times with some decks, but that's kind of the fun of that game is like, well, that didn't work out. Let me try this card and let me replace this.
And that's how you learn in that game too. Like, oh fuck, you can use those cards to do that crazy ass thing. Well, I'm going to go fucking build a deck now that does that shit. So I can do that to people, you know?
Yeah. Let me tell you one quick Hearthstone nerd story here about how I got beat the other day by, the deck is referred to as a rogue mill deck. And what the whole purpose of that deck is to burn through your cards. So they use, it's a Cold Light Oracle, I think is the name of the card that draws two cards for each player.
Mm.
And they're one of the new cards is called Gang Up, where you create duplicates of a specific card.
Nice.
So basically what happens is, the rogue wants, you know, you get enough mana to play this. They just play all these Cold Light Oracles on you, which burns through your deck, and then you start taking the fatigue damage for not having cards.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting killed that way, and I was real pissed off about it for about 5 minutes. And then I was like, okay, that's actually pretty clever, but
yeah,
that seems like a deck that could be a lot of trouble if somebody comes at you hard early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, unlike, I hate to keep comparing it to Clash Royale, but unlike that game, there are so many strategies. It's not just here, you know, here's this card and here's this counter.
Yeah.
There's just so many different ways to play that, and the different character classes play so differently.
It's hard to be really good at Hearthstone. Like, you have to know a lot of shit. You got to be able to keep track of a lot of different things in that game.
Yeah, yeah, but it's super
anybody
fun.
Can play it. Like, you can get in there and get to level 20, you know, on the ladder every week and get your free chest or whatever. And that's not all that difficult. But, you know, getting beyond like maybe 15 on the ranks, it gets hard. There's some fucking good players in that game.
It's a minute to learn, John. Lifetime to master.
Yeah, I mean, I'd actually compare it to chess. I've always enjoyed playing chess, and it's because there's a million different combinations that can happen on that board, and Hearthstone does a really good job of giving you all of these different combinations. And so much so that, you know, people find exploits and they find ways to abuse, you know, interactions between cards, and then they have to patch the shit out or nerf something, you know. It's really a very well-designed game.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's been the thing that's occupied probably more time than anything, because it's just the perfect game for that. Like, hey, I'm going to watch something on TV, but only half-ass pay attention to it, and then I'm going to play Hearthstone, and what I'm really doing is playing Hearthstone. With just some noise in the background. So I end up just like kicking back and listening to a podcast or something, and sitting down and playing it.
I played about 10 games of the new expansion and when it first came out, and haven't gotten back to it, but it's like, it's always there taunting me.
It's real damn good.
Man, that game's going to be around for a long time, man, if they keep it up, and you know, and Blizzard has the track record of being able to support things long-term. So I have no doubt they will.
But that's really all I've been playing. You know, there's going to be more stuff coming soon, you know, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show, but, oh, there's a game coming. There is a game coming I can't wait for, so. But in the meantime, Johnny Dolan, how about you news me up real good?
Just lather you up with some news.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see where to start. We're going to just get this out of the way, because I know Bo wants it to be out of the way. We're going to talk about the Division for just a second. There was an article. There's a lot of problems on PC with hacking. It's gotten really bad. I've logged into play. It's been over a week since my last Division drink. got my one week chip the other day. Because I level capped, got to level 30 in that game, and was playing with my buddy Wade, and we went into the dark zone and immediately ran into four guys that were hacking, and they just kept one-shotting us, and we could not do anything in the dark zone, so we quit out of the game, rejoined, and got wiped again by the same hackers. We couldn't force ourselves onto a different instance of the game, a different server. to avoid the hackers that we were running into. And if you go on any, basically any forum on Steam or on Ubisoft's forum for the PC version of the game, hackers are fucking ruining it right now.
Yep.
So there was an article by a gaming, let's see, who is this guy? Glenn Fielder had an 18-year career in the game industry, working for developers such as worked on games like Bioshock and Tribes at Irrational Games. He worked on L.A. Noire, Mercenaries, and Titanfall team. And he wrote this article is on Eurogamer.net, and he was interviewed. And he was talking about the PC version of The Division and said basically that the way this game was designed was stupid, and whoever programmed it this way is an idiot. Because they've made it so that it's damn near impossible to stop the hacking that they've created. It's an interesting article. It's called The Division PC Would Need a Complete Rewrite to Combat Hacks. This man has warned. And then the story I found right near that one, which is a kind of Ubisoft-sponsored story. They're trying to save some face here. Title is The Division's Cheating Exploit Problems Could Be Coming to an End. Not according to this other guy.
That sounds encouraging. Okay.
Yeah. So you got one guy out there who's like, you know, knows a thing or two about, you know, networking and online games, and he's saying this game is fucked. And, you know, while he can't get in there and actually look at the code and see how they've done it, like some of the things that he said in that article are just, you know, like they've got a real big problem here. But they're changing the way some of their bans are working. Previously, I think Justin said it on the last episode, where they would only ban you for 3 days if you were caught hacking. They've upped that to 2 weeks. So if you get caught hacking, you will be, your initial ban will be for 2 weeks. And then if you're caught again after that, you will get the key just revoked for the game. They got to do something quick because, you know, my desire to go back to that game is waning. And the Dark Zone seemed like a lot of fun. But right now it's totally fucked on PC. So, you know, everybody's saying, yeah, this game's really cool if you play it on console at the moment, because they don't have the problems with hackers. It's a real bummer. I was really enjoying that game, and that really kind of ruined it for me. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the client side. So they have it where a lot of stuff is done client side. And it's the same problem that Arma had for years and years, because Arma was not really intended for like a network environment. It was more intended for like a local, you know, you're having a LAN party, you're sending a lot of data across a local network, and, you know, you're playing with people that, you know, aren't going to hack, so you're not really worried about it. And that's what's led to, like, you know, people who can just change their stats, who can just one-shot kill people, all of this other crazy kind of stuff.
I guess people are just using some real basic, you know, like you can just go to a website and download a program called Cheat Engine, which has been around forever. And you just fire up Cheat Engine and you can just kind of do whatever you want. So it's like, it's not all that hard to hack the game is the problem.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. The single player, like the story missions on that game, are super fun. And you can still play that stuff and you're not going to run into any hackers. The only place you're going to run into hackers is in the Dark Zone. But the problem is that people have been, you know, finding all these glitches and exploits and going into the part of the kind of single player aspect of it that is getting ruined by people is when you try to go to the incursion. And people will go in there and they'll glitch their way to the boss and they'll kill the boss right away. If you're like matchmaking with random people, they'll glitch to the boss, they'll kill the boss, and they'll pick up all the drops, and then you'll get kicked out of the mission and you won't be able to get any of the drops. And they're basically kind of, they found a way to kind of ruin some of that stuff through the matchmaking system. And so because they're using these exploits, they're getting all the best gear in the game, you know, via, you know, avenues not intended by the developers, and then they go into the Dark Zone and they just wreck people with them. So they're not even really hacking. They're just kind of exploiting bugs that are in the game to get all the great equipment, and then they're just a powerhouse when they get into the PvP area and you can't deal with them. So there's a lot of problems going on with that game right now, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real bummer. We need to get Smedley on this.
Yeah. Get him out there. Slit some throats.
Yeah, if you get caught hacking The Division, we don't ban you. we just put you on Smedley's list.
That's right. We give him your address. I tell him where you live. We tell him where your family lives.
Yeah, yeah. So enjoy the game while you can, fuckers, because Smedley's coming for you.
And in else, the dark of the night. Coming with him.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. Where do we want to bounce here? Some new game announcements coming out. There was a new trailer out. I don't know if you guys watched this or not. The new Deus Ex Mankind Divided trailer.
Yeah.
That game looks fucking awesome. Like, it just looks like they took the last one and amped it way up. Like, you are just even more of a badass. I really like... It's another Eidos game who also does... is Hitman Eidos as well? It is. It's Square Enix. I forget if they're all a part of the same company. But it's got that great Hitman vibe to it where you can kind of stealth into areas. But one of the things I really enjoy about Deus Ex is that when you want to just go like guns blazing, it's easier to do it in that game than in a Hitman game. Like, generally in Hitman, if you like start going bonkers and just, you know, whip out the machine gun and start gunning people down, it's not going to end well for you, and it's going to happen pretty quick because you would just get overwhelmed. And in Human Revolution, they had, you know, it was easy to play either way. You could kind of stealth your way through stuff. You could go in and just have a run and gun, and it was a good cover shooter in addition to being kind of a stealth game. But that new trailer is fucking great. If you haven't seen it, check that shit out. Previously on an episode of the Shotcast, we talked about the World of Warcraft server that was being run by a bunch of people who loved playing good old-fashioned vanilla Warcraft. And Blizzard came in and shut them down, sent them a cease and desist order. But since then... apparently, the people who are running that server have gained an audience with Blizzard and are in, you know, very preliminary talks, but they are meeting with them to discuss the possibility of the original version of World of Warcraft being a thing that people can play again legitimately. So Blizzard is not completely tone deaf, as I was worried about when we talked about this before. They seem to be actually listening. I think, what is the stats on this thing? They had a petition that the people who played on the server sent around. They got 250,000 signatures on this petition demanding that Blizzard allow them to reopen the server. The Nostralis server had more than 800,000 registered accounts and a daily active user peak of around 10,000 people right up until it got shut down. So...
I mean, you just hire these guys. I mean, yeah. I read through the article, and their thing was, you know, hey, they're not trying to be the bad guys.
Yeah.
If they don't protect their intellectual property, then, you know,
we understand why you're shutting it down, but look.
Just hire those guys and be like, yo, here's Joe Schmo, whoever from Blizzard, who's kind of going to keep it under wraps, make sure you're not doing... you know, something that you shouldn't be doing, and that this stays kind of up to the standards that we would like it to be, and you just turn the servers back on, and you make these guys' lives, you know? I mean, you just let them... They obviously love vanilla Warcraft and classic World of Warcraft. Just let them be those guys and let them do it for
seems,
you.
It seems like it's heading down that path. Like, they're... So, hopefully, people can... And that's... You've got this audience that just wants to play your game, so... figure out a way to make that happen and make some money off of it.
Yeah, but it seems like... Yeah, I mean, Blizzard does seem like the kind of company that's not as draconian as shutting down a server just to be a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you're right. Yeah, it would be great if they were just like, you know what, we're going to put you on staff and you run this server. That is your job now.
Yeah. Did either of you play the Dishonored?
I did play the Dishonored.
Yeah, the Dishonored.
Never made it that far in it, but it's a very good game.
Yeah, the sequel, Dishonored 2, will be released on November 11th on PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. Sounds cool.
Yeah, it seems... I mean, it's December, but that still seems to have kind of snuck out. Or maybe I just didn't hear the official announcement, but yeah. I mean, I thought the first game, you know, it's one of those proof of concepts of like, oh, all this is real cool.
Yeah.
Now let's see what the sequel looks like. I'm more interested in a sequel to Dishonored 2 or Dishonored than I am,
yeah,
you know, ever playing Dishonored again.
Yeah, and I gave it the old college try in that game and ended up, you know, getting drawn away from it by other games. You know, like I was having a good time with it, but then some other new things came out that were just kind of better. So it was a cool, like a stealth, you know, action-y thing. So I'm curious to see what the new one is. It also has some somewhat high-powered Hollywood talent doing voiceover work for it, notably Rosario Dawson and Sam Rockwell, who is one of my favorite fucking actors on the planet. Right.
I like both of them quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be cool. More games.
Oh, and I can verify now. I don't know if we did this on a previous show, but a while back when we were talking, Uncharted 4 voice acting. It is Troy Baker playing Nolan North's brother in Uncharted 4. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
They get all the voice actors in that game. All of them. Air voice actors in that.
Call of Duty Infinite Warfare comes out on November 4th.
Yeah, I saw that trailer.
Yeah.
You know, the new game just seems kind of like a fart. It's Halo. Like, now we're just playing Halo.
Yeah, it gets in space. Like, they're going into space, and there's going to be some space battles. Like, in the trailer, it's one of those trailers where I look at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that space battle looks really fucking cool. But then I remember, wait a minute, I'm watching a Call of Duty trailer.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most on-rail shit you've ever seen in your entire life.
Exactly. And even if it isn't, it's not going to... It will pale in comparison to so many other games where you get to fly in space that are coming out this next year.
If I can, let me interject one of the comments for tonight's show from Joseph Petruzziello, who just keeps lining up for abuse. God bless him. But so his comment about this is, yeah, watching the Call of Destiny trailer.
Yeah.
And he says,
ouch.
And he says, please don't go to space. Please don't go to space. Please don't, son of a bitch.
Yeah, they went to space.
Yeah.
But I would say the shiny little piece of gold in this whole thing is the remaster of the original Modern Warfare that we'll be releasing with this. Sadly, right now, it appears that you will have to buy this piece of crap to get the Modern Warfare remake, that they are not selling it separately. It's really dumb that they're sort of standing on this pedestal.
Yeah.
The way I see it is you either sell it separately or I'm just not going to play the thing, because I'm not going to spend $70 just to get a Modern Warfare remaster that doesn't even include, it doesn't even have all the multiplayer maps. Yeah, it probably has the single player storyline. You're not going to have any kind of co-op. You know, there's so much stuff that's not going to be in that.
Because you could just go play Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, not remastered version, because that game's still awesome and there's tons of people playing it.
It is still awesome. It still costs, a decade after release, $20, though.
Yeah, it goes on sale for $9.99 all the time.
Doesn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
I just, they're the worst people about keeping their games at a high price way too long, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, that's a thing.
It's Infinity Ward coming back to do it, which has some pedigree, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to generate excitement.
Yep, it's so played out, man. Like, I can't believe they keep fucking making Call of Duty games. I mean, there's obviously a spreadsheet somewhere that says, yes, this is profitable, let's put another one out, but, man.
Well, we should see a Battlefield 5 reveal, I think, in the next couple weeks, and... depending on which way that game goes time-wise, if it's World War One or World War Two or near future, I think the next Battlefield's going to be a game to watch out for.
Yeah, I never played 4. I played the hell out of Battlefield 3, but I never played 4. It had a lot of problems at launch, and I just never, like, by the time they fixed it all, I had moved on to something else. So I don't even know if 4 was any good or not.
4 was more of the same. Definitely the engine's a lot better. It runs a lot smoother.
Yeah.
I was so super into Battlefield 3 that I bought the Battlefield 4 like super mega ultimate edition. So I have like every expansion, but I ended up not playing it that much because it was just okay.
Yeah. 3 was a fantastic game. Yes. Like rolling around in fucking tanks in that game was great. Helicopters were good. That was a lot of fun, man. And just some super cool maps in that game.
Yes, they had some very good maps.
Yeah, but, I only touched that a little bit, but yeah.
I guess apparently this Battlefield 5 is getting announced on Friday. So we will know very soon what the future holds for that.
Please franchise. Don't go to space. Please don't go to space.
Son of a...
I don't think they will. The most near future futuristic thing you could get is that they'll do a Battlefield 2143. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, yeah. I mean, that would be the closest I think you would get, but that would still... A Battlefield game would handle space a lot better than a Call of Duty game.
In a post... Trump apocalyptic wasteland. You are the remaining forces of the coalition of the Americas.
if only one of these game manufacturers had just really, really, really gravitated towards Trump and they made like the Battlefield 5 single player is like one of the missions is like you're in Trump Tower protecting Donald Trump from the terrorists who are coming to get him because he's like nuked half the planet or, you know, like someone's coming to get him because he's just been the most horrible president. It's like, you know, started all these wars.
Oh, and it's 2143 and he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's Robo-Trump.
Robo-Trump.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's big. It's classy.
It's Robo-Trump.
It's Robo-Trump.
Hearthstone has 50 million registered players.
That's yeah, that seems there. Right.
It's a lot.
A lot of them have better cards than me, too. Sons of bitches.
In February, Blizzard confirmed on a call to investors that more than 40 million people were playing Mac, Windows, PC, and mobile free-to-play Hearthstone. Last May, the company celebrated reaching its 30 million registered Hearthstone accounts. So, since this time last year, they've gained 20 million registered accounts.
I mean, that doesn't tell you how many people are actively playing,
but there's a lot.
Sure. That's a lot of people. Yeah, that's a giant user base. And, you know, and good for it. I mean, it's a great game. That's one of those, like, you know, local boy done good kind of things of like, you know what, all the money you can get off this thing, you get it because they've done a bang up job with it.
They also nerfed their sorry emote in the game. You used to be able to tap on your hero and say, let's see, thanks, well played, greetings, sorry, oops, and threaten, which was kind of a taunt in the game. It's the only way that you can communicate in Hearthstone, which I always liked that there was not a chat, which keeps it from getting really shitty. But they changed sorry to wow because too many people were using sorry ironically all the time.
Yeah, I've run into that. Laying down a card, sorry.
Yeah, they lay a whole bunch of shit on you and then sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a real jerk move, yeah.
Let's see. Let me just read the beginning.
The jerkiest of moves, though, that ever happened to me playing Hearthstone was I beat someone, and I'm one of those people that does the good game. After I play,
yeah,
like at the end of the match, no matter who wins or loses,
oh, yeah, well played,
good game, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so I did the good game, and then the guy I had just beaten friended me, and so I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I guess he thought I was good competition. No, he friended me just long enough to send me a message saying, "Don't good game me after you beat me with your bullshit deck, asshole," and then immediately unfriended me.
And that's why you can't communicate in Hearthstone.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah. I was like, I'm being ironic about it. Sorry.
Blizzard has removed the ability to say sorry to your Hearthstone opponents. The collectible card battler has allowed players to apologize since its released alpha beta as of patch 5.0. This is no longer the case. While there may be some players out there somewhere who use the emote to offer a sincere apology, most players, and I speak from experience, instead have learned to use the apology as sarcastically as possible. I'm reading this off of Eurogamer.net. This, I've been told, is classed in the Hearthstone community as BM, or bad manners, and is frowned upon by some, but is also a tactic used by some of the game's best players to influence or tilt opponents, for example, into making them think they have a lethal play when they actually do not. So it seems like the most benign thing on the planet, but they took it out, and I guess more power to them for just being on top of that shit. So
yeah, I mean,
it's fine. It doesn't matter, you know?
Right. It's kind of a jerk move when somebody, especially if they just spam it, and you see a lot of that, but
but even that's limited. Like, if you do like 4 emotes in a row in like rapid succession, it says, "Yeah, you're on a fucking cooldown. You're doing that too much." So, like, they've really got that shit locked down. So yeah. it's funny that in Hearthstone, the worst thing you can do is say sorry.
and even that was too much. Like, you give someone an inch, they take a fucking mile.
Yep. You're not really sorry, prick.
That weird etiquette, like, you know, this is the Clash Royale thing, but they have the emoticons as
the
well.
The crying king,
The crying is the one that you get a bunch there.
The spam, that drives me nuts, too. I mean, I uninstalled the game, and that was one of those things where, like, you're playing the game, and somebody's just spamming the hell out of the fucking crying king. Every time they do something or you lose a few guys, they hit the crying king. And then at the end, they do the well played, they do like the thumbs up king. It's like, all right, this is not useful.
Right. This is just you being a jerk, and it makes me feel bad. And I'm a 40-year-old man that is somehow being emotionally affected by some, you know, kid in Taiwan spamming the crying king.
Exactly. I was just gonna say, and the player name for the other character is a bunch of like Chinese characters that you can't read at all. It's like, okay. Some kid on the other side of the planet just spammed me and made me feel bad for no reason. Yeah.
Fuck you too, Hung Soon.
Let's see.
I hope communism never fails. Enjoy your time working in that cell phone factory, dick. I hope
something
you missed
about
the nets.
Suicide nets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gearbox confirms that Borderlands 3 will be its next game.
Oh, who would have thought?
No. And I would have surprised.
They probably saw the reviews on Battleborn, were like, oh, by the way, Borderlands 3 coming.
Yeah, hey, did we tell you? Yep. And that's kind of the end of that story. They announced it. I don't think there was a release date.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It'll be funny. Yeah. We're all going to play it. It's probably going to be a good time. Even really mess it up.
Even Gearbox CEO and president, Randy Pitchford, said, "It's no secret. Obviously, there's going to be another Borderlands."
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, at least they're in on the joke, you know. Fallout 4's creation kit, which is the built-in modding system, has entered beta, and you can play it, I believe, on Steam only right now. But you can go into if you load the experimental branch or the beta branch on Steam, you can check it out and mod to your heart's delight right there in the game. It's apparently the tool that they actually use to build the game itself. This is what their people use to make their own shit for the game. So
yeah, that's cool.
That seems really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So built-in mods right there in the game.
There are some very pimply-faced, nerdy dudes in some basements right now making everything in the game nude.
That's right.
You know, like, it's just happening. You're not going to be able to run past an NPC without them having, you know, no clothes on.
Doing the Lord's work, they are.
Yeah, yeah. Although I did see a mod for New Vegas this past week.
I know what you're talking about.
Super hot.
Super hot mod, yeah.
Super hot mod, which I think is just awesome.
I haven't played that yet. I played the web version of Super Hot, but I have not tried the full release now that that's out. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, they are someone adapted it for VR. Basically just recreated it in Unity.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, with the like motion controllers for the
dodging bullets with your face, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're gonna see a lot of crazy stuff with that creation kit. I mean, it's gonna be Skyrim all over again.
Good. good. Yeah, the crazier the better, you know? Oh, yeah. Not just the nudity stuff, but which I'm totally down for. But, yeah, I mean, well, like with Skyrim, they had, you know, modders that did entirely new campaigns for that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and there's some Skyrim mod that just came out that some guy's been working on for 5 years that, like, doubles the sizes of some of the towns in the game. Like, there's just this enormous amount of content that he's modded into the game. That's
yeah. Fantastic. That, I mean, of all games, though, that is a game that you could just... that, like, that's the game I play. I just play Skyrim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's still hugely popular. And, I mean, they sell it for, like, $5 every once in a while. And, if you don't have Skyrim... You don't need that $5 as much as you need Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a gaming PC, I don't know why you don't already have Skyrim. It's like, yeah. It's just one of those games that you just have.
Yeah, it just comes installed when you buy a video card now.
Yeah.
You know, it automatically installs itself. And it's like, hey, you need here's some mods that you need too.
We just went ahead and installed this for you. Thanks. It was kind of weird the way the story came out. Nintendo's earnings report that they released at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. I found this on Giant Bomb. They did like this weird late night earnings report release, but that report basically confirmed that the new console, the Nintendo NX, which is its code name, I guess at this point, will be released in 2017. And the other part of that kind of got some people excited about that was that they actually talked about the new Legend of Zelda at the same time, that saying that it will be released on both the NX and the Wii U simultaneously, that they're simultaneously developing it for both systems. So it's kind of the last hurrah for the Wii U. They get this new amazing looking Zelda game. So
I'm glad Wii U owners.
Yeah.
I'm glad Nintendo just has like bukus of money that they can blow and develop games for two concurrent, you know, systems that they themselves are also producing at the same time.
Yeah.
Like,
Nintendo is weird. I can't wrap my brain around Nintendo. I've never been able to quite figure out, like, they make really cool stuff and they have an interesting, like, just their whole...
It's kind of their aesthetic, right? Like, if you play a Nintendo game, you kind of know it's a Nintendo game.
And there are 100% like Nintendo people.
Oh, yeah.
And like, used to work with this guy who just Wii U this, Wii U that, love my Wii U. I mean, you couldn't say a bad thing about anything Nintendo, but anything else, you know, Xbox or other stuff like that, like, they just paled in comparison to, you know, this. You know, this Wii U.
It's a different kind of fanboy. It's not even like a fanboy. It's just like these people are just programmed to like these games better. Yeah. There's something about this style that just jives with people more so than anything else. So.
And like, man, I get it. Pokemons. I get it, man.
Yeah.
You gotta catch them all.
The slave / dog fighting game that is Pokemon.
So, in a related story, which... I'm sure the moment it came out, like, somebody at Nintendo just, like, their eyes started to twitch. but EB Games Australia has listed the Nintendo NX on their website with a placeholder price of $999.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even though that's obviously not the price. Like, if you're Nintendo, you just be, motherfucker.
Yeah. Why did you do this?
What Nintendo really needs to do is they need to develop sentient robots that are super into Nintendo and then set them loose in the world to get jobs that allow them to purchase Nintendos. You know, whatever their new platform happens to be.
So they can sell more Nintendos.
Yeah. Right. So it's just this constant circle of like, we're putting some R&D into our, you know, Nintendobots that will then go out, earn money to buy our products. And that way they can cut just the rest of the world out of the loop entirely.
From the last article, some of these numbers, this is what's interesting to me about Nintendo is, you know, they're so obviously in third place but they keep kind of chugging along. So life to date, Nintendo has sold 12.8 million Wii U units and stuff, which isn't a favorable comparison next to the PS4's 35 million plus or the Xbox One's 19 million units sold. With standout software sales from Splatoon, 4.2 million units, and Super Mario Maker, 3.5 million units. This year's Wii performance isn't necessarily grim, but it does illustrate the limited scope of the Wii U's success. Those numbers, like, Splatoon was, that was a hugely popular game on Nintendo, but it only sold 4.2 million units. Super Mario Maker, also hugely popular, 3.5 million. Like, when you start comparing those to, you know, Grand Theft Autos and... which is, you know, obviously an outlier, but...
Well, or even just something that's exclusive, like a Bloodborne.
Yeah.
You know, like, I couldn't tell you how many that's old, but, you know, probably more than 4 million copies?
I would assume. I mean, it's just... It's a combination of... I mean, it seems like there's just tons of fucking Nintendo systems out there, though. Like, they're just ubiquitous. They're everywhere, but... I guess not. Like, 12.8 million, that's... It's not even half the number of PS4s. Like, so when I saw this article initially, the first thing that popped into my mind was, what if they had just called it the Wii 2? Would they have sold more? Like, I still think that was a huge problem at the launch of the Wii U. It's like, nobody understood what the fuck it was. Like, I, even before I did the research on it, thought it was an expansion for the original Wii, something that you could plug into, you know, make it better, like it was a 32X attachment or something like that from the old consoles. Like, just the naming convention alone hamstrung that thing from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. I for the longest time thought it was just some sort of Sega CD type add-on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go Nintendo, you go Super Nintendo, it's not NESU.
The Wii U, and what the fuck does that mean? Like, it's just a useless moniker that they stuck on that thing that made it impossible to understand for someone who was not in that, you know, in that realm already, I guess. I don't know.
And just for clarification's sake, I'm stupid. Bloodborne sold, as of September 2015, about 2 million copies.
That's it, really?
Yeah, so for, and that's a console exclusive, so that's...
Yeah,
you know,
comparable to a Nintendo, I guess, because those would be consoles. Yeah, so I guess those are. I mean, those are good numbers, but those are. I mean, if you know, anybody who's in the know in, you know, video games, you say, "Hey, what were the two biggest games on the Wii U?" They're going to say Splatoon and Super Mario Maker.
Right, and you're also talking about a console exclusive for a console that has all the other games too.
Yeah,
you know, like if you have a Wii U, you are buying Wii U games, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going to get Dark Souls for the Wii U.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting. So, and the fucking story where there's like, yeah, let's put the placeholder price out there for $1,000 on this thing. God damn it.
Right. Yeah. Just like, oh, son of a bitch. That's not what we need right now. We don't need people thinking we're more expensive than a VR headset.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Let's switch gears a little bit here. Actually, let's stay with Nintendo for a second. Somebody invented a... Nah, I love this kind of shit. Somebody invented a dongle that you can plug into your original NES that uses Bluetooth that will then allow you to use specially made NES controllers that look like the original controllers, but that are wireless. So you can have a wireless controller for your original Nintendo Entertainment System.
I have one of this company's controllers. I just realized... I am using it right now.
Yeah.
I just got it. It's a little Bluetooth. It looks like a Super Famicom controller. Like the, it's like red and gold, like old style.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently this thing will let you use these special controllers, or you can use like a Wii controllers with this dongle to control your original Nintendo. That's, I love that. Those kind of hacks and shit that people make. $20 for this adapter. Like, if you're still into playing your old Nintendo, that's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wish that Nintendo would ultimately put out, like, almost a retro console that was just like, hey, packed into this box is NES games, Super NES games, and it can be of their choosing almost. Like, here's a $200 console that's got, like, you know, 50% of the NES library, 50% of the NES library, and, you know, even some 64 games thrown in for good measure. I know they have their, like, virtual console and so forth, or the Wii store. But I don't know. I mean, it never feels like they're totally capitalizing on their back catalog, which is more, more substantial than any other console around.
Yeah. I've heard the idea put forward numerous times that Nintendo, it's like they're just, I don't even know how to describe it, but the fact that that entire back catalog is not available on mobile platforms is baffling. Like, why can't I play old NES games on my phone? That seems like just like a no-brainer. Like, that should just be available, and people will buy those games for $5-$10 because those games are fucking great, and now I can play them on my phone.
There should literally be a Nintendo-branded NES app, SNES app. You should just have an app that comes. Yep.
Here's the library.
In-app purchase.
Yep.
Boom, you're done. Yeah.
I mean, if they're not working on that, they have no brains at all. I just can't imagine a situation where that is not a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, unless you get into the, like, well, you know, controls, even the emulated joysticks on a phone suck.
Make a peripheral that plugs in that's a fucking D-pad and an AB button, man.
You've got a Bluetooth controller now. Just make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it a Bluetooth connection to the game. And
The library is just huge. There's so many games. And I don't know.
Yeah. And within the install base you've got for the Wii U, which isn't nothing, but it's not everyone else, you know, like you need to get out to that market. And, you know, like years ago or a couple of years ago, when the Wii U hit and, you know, it wasn't doing the sales that certainly the Wii did, but just not impressive sales at all. And people were talking about, like, well, maybe this is when Nintendo just goes pure software like Sega did. And we're just going to put Nintendo games out on other platforms. I understand Nintendo's in the console game, but man, that was an exciting idea that now on an Xbox or PlayStation, I could play Super Mario Brothers. That would be unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It'd be totally unbelievable. It'd be like amazing.
Could you have more spit in your mouth? Yeah.
Go way back.
Yeah. That's... If you got that reference, just hit us up on Facebook and we'll get you a free game.
Seriously, I got some games in my library. I'll give you a free game if you understand that reference.
Yep.
Last episode, I believe it was, we talked about current leader in the world's biggest asshole competition, Alex St. John, said a bunch of horrible things.
Yeah, and then his daughter came correct on the heels of that, sure.
Yeah, so the article that followed that up, this was shortly after that whole debacle last time, but he was calling, lazy millennials and calling people wage slaves and basically saying you should be, you know, thankful your job is just pushing a mouse around because it's basically, you know, something any idiot could do. Numerous things that were horrible. So his own daughter came out and wrote an article about her, quote, dad's horrific toddler meltdown, which she says represents the usual self-aggrandizing agenda that older generations like to peddle on nowadays when they need to feed their superiority complex. She describes his opinions on women in gaming as distasteful, vile, and revolting. This article is on Polygon. Alex St. John's daughter responds to his vile opinions. Technical engineer Amelia St. John says her father is sexist and wrong. She rips him up in this article. It's bad. Let's see.
I really like the highlighted quote. He shields himself from all of the realities that put white males in a position of power.
Yeah, it's where's the father's own conclusion being that everyone who is not a white male has a victim complex and allowing themselves to be held back. She writes, it is very convenient to pretend that the reason white males are so successful is because they are the self-starters geared toward success, etc., while everyone else is simply too lazy, apathetic, and whiny to make anything of themselves. By pretending this, he shields himself from all of the realities that put white males in a position of power in the first place. I mean, She's just doing what we did last week, just calling this guy out for being the biggest fucking asshole.
Can't wait till Thanksgiving dinner at that house.
Oh my god. She said the last part of this is, I beg my father, for the love of his daughters, to stop hindering our progress as women in the industry and start using his influence to promote positive experiences for minorities in tech, added St. John. Her blog post also includes resources for women working in tech as well as girls considering engineering as a career. So she just came out and just ripped her own dad a new asshole publicly. It was quite...
It's awesome. Yeah, it was really awesome. Yeah. Of all the people who would have some... who could hold him up to a flame and it actually mean something, you know, there's plenty of, you know, just random internet people who are probably saying a lot of the same kind of stuff about what, you know, he said.
Yeah.
But to have your own daughter come out and say that is just, I mean, that speaks volumes.
Well, and she's in the know. She currently works as a front-end Drupal developer at Energy Circle, a technology tools and services company. So, I mean, she's in the career that he's bitching about, and she is like... Yeah. So, like, there could not have been a better rebuttal to all the bullshit he was spewing. So, I thought that was just like... And then nothing from him. Like, I haven't seen any follow-up to either of that. Like, she just put him down hard.
Nah, he pulled a Lucky Palmer and realized that he should keep his big mouth shut and just not be on the internet right now.
Yeah. Good idea. Well, that's a nice transition. We'll just go over to the Oculus. The title of this article is Oculus Launch Gets Stranger as Hardware Hits Best Buy and Others Before Pre-Orders Are Filled. And some people are super pissed off about it.
Okay, so with that...
Apparently Justin's one of them.
Not that I'm mad. It's that I used to work at a place that did pre-orders for things. And one of the things... you know, to get your products into a Best Buy and to these other stores is they say, if you don't give us X number of product by X date, that's it.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to be in Best Buy. You're not going to be at Staple, you know, wherever. So I get the, it's easier to screw over the people who you don't have this humongous business contract with. You've already got their money. You already told them they're in line to get it. It's easier to screw them over and make them wait a couple more weeks than it is to screw over this business relationship that, you know, could potentially, you know, set them back. But on the other side of that, completely their fault. Totally should have planned for this.
Well, they're having serious, you know, sourcing problems. Like, they cannot build enough of these things to fill all their orders. So, you know, obviously people are going to be upset because their pre-orders have already been delayed, and now the story comes out that they're going to have you'll be able to get a demo of retail Oculus Rift at 48 Best Buy locations starting on May 7th, and you will be able to also, they will have them in stock there to purchase. So they're doing the best they can, I think, in this situation, because they have said, if you go out and if you have a pre-order for an Oculus and you go out and you see one, you know, out in the wild for sale at a retail store, buy it, sign on, tell us you bought one, and we will honor, you know, any of the pre-purchase bonuses that you were going to get via your pre-purchase, and we will cancel your pre-purchase. So you'll get eValkyrie is like the free thing that you get with it. So, you know, like,
I mean, they're
still
nice.
Kind of putting the work on you as the consumer to go out and fucking find your own while they delay yours. But it's exactly what you said. Like, obviously this agreement existed with Best Buy at the same time that they were pre-selling these things. And the sad reality is that that relationship with Best Buy, like you said, is far more important than keeping pre-order people as happy.
The exact same thing happened at the company I worked for. We pre-ordered this product. It was a stand for an Apple Watch. Just like, the demand for the pre-orders was a lot more than we thought it was going to be. We already had these pre-existing contracts in place to get it into these different stores. Yep. We couldn't produce enough of them. And it was literally like, we'd get a shipment of them and 75% of that shipment would go to Best Buy and 25% of that shipment would go to the list of people who had pre-ordered it. And I had to sit there and explain that to people, you know. And you obviously can't when people are just livid about it.
I mean, they gave you their money, you know. Yeah, so the lesson here is, don't pre-order shit.
And don't get on Twitter and tell people that it's a good thing. that the stuff is getting into Best Buy before you're getting your pre-order of Palmer Lucky. Don't. The last thing you need to do is say anything about this other than I'm working really hard.
Though, right? I mean, he's basically saying, no, it's good for VR, I think.
It is.
Yeah. So it's good for his pockets.
Well, but just, you know, I mean, we're all marching toward the same destination, even if we're on different tracks. And as somebody who pre-ordered an Oculus, like mine's coming in, you know, a week or two, you know, I know, I've waited this long. I've waited literally my whole life for good VR. If it takes me an extra 2 weeks, then fine.
So I feel pretty much the same way. It's just like, yeah, you know, I got lots of other shit to do. But as a younger man, when I had tons of free time, like this would have pissed me off a lot more because it would be the thing I was waiting for was this. And now it's like, well, you know, fuck, I gotta, you know, do this thing around the house. I gotta clean this shit up. I know I was gonna change the oil on the fucking car. Like, I got shit to do while I'm waiting for this thing to show up. But, you know, back then it was like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to play video games and get really drunk. That was it. So, like, if the thing that was going to help me do that was not showing up. Yeah, we sent all your beer to Best Buy. So, you'll get your beer eventually so you can get drunk and play video games. But, like, I can see how there's, you know, some harsh responses to this on the internet.
Right.
Like,
young people are stupid and impatient.
And just less. And that's just the reality of, you know, age as you become, I would hope at least that you become more patient as you get older.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean,
always the rule.
Yeah. I mean, a part of it is just perspective. Like, this is a piece of entertainment. Yeah. And yes, you might be passionate and really excited about it. And that's great. You should be. This all seems really, you know, revolutionary for the industry and all that. Yeah. But, you know, just calm down. Don't get upset. You're gonna burst a vessel or something. Just
like, the only thing that could really would screw this up is if you die before you get your Oculus.
Right. Like you have a heart attack as it's being handed to you by the delivery man would be a real bitch. Yeah.
Late. Like, it could have been here 2 weeks ago before I died. Like, okay. You got a legitimate beef there, but like, if you just got to wait a couple of weeks to get yours, you know?
Yeah. If you're one of those dudes who's like, oh, my doctor gave me 4 days to live and they're going to pull the plug and I really want to see Captain America Civil War, will you bring it to my hospital room?
Yeah.
You know, like, one of those things. Somebody will
probably help you work that out. Like, I got to try VR before I fucking die.
Sure.
I really want John Cena to come say hi to me. Get him here.
Cena would do it.
He does the most Make-A-Wish Foundation things. Yeah.
Sure.
Stand-up guy.
Do they give Make-A-Wish stuff to, like, 42-year-old men?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Why not? Fuck it.
Of course they don't, because they would all be prostitutes.
Yeah, I really would. Maybe we should start that. Start our own Make-A-Wish Foundation, but it's
pimpin'.
You must be 21 years or older.
You mean? Yeah. I point you to the movie Night Shift. It didn't work out.
what is the name? It can't be Make-A-Wish. What do you call it at that point?
I don't know. Make an appointment to your doctor to get cleaned up. You are going to be it up with the VD.
It up? Nice.
It up, yeah.
It up. This was interesting to me, I guess, because I'm still trying to figure out the... I find monetizing videos on YouTube and advertising on the internet and all that stuff kind of just generally interesting, but... previously, if you had some content on YouTube and somebody put up an IP dispute claim against you, YouTube would remove your ability to make money through ads on that content. And then if it came out later that their dispute was unfounded and you could go back to monetizing your video during that time where it was down, you basically got nothing. And you know, anybody who's familiar with, you know, popular YouTube stuff knows that basically the first few weeks that something is out is probably the most important time for it, where it's going to get the most hit, maybe even just the first few days. So if somebody hits you with a content ID claim early after you put something out and it gets taken down, you used to not be able to make any money off of it. They're coming up with a new system now. YouTube is implementing that during the time that something is under a content ID claim review, they will just put all of that advertising money in a pool, and whoever ends up being deemed as the owner of that content after they do their review process, they will then get all that advertising money.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as like, they're not always going to side with the man, that seems fair.
I mean, apparently, like, this is as far as this content ID claims go, it's like worse than patent trolls. Like, it's really, really a bad problem where people are just, you know, sending in ID claims against everything. And YouTube is just not equipped to go through all that shit and determine, you know,
I feel like the theme of the news tonight has been people are really shitty.
Yeah.
And it's hard to combat that.
It is. And that's what I find interesting about this stuff is because it's just the fucking Wild West for a lot of this crap. And it's like a figure it out as we go. Like, and I heard a story on NPR on Marketplace tonight where Hulu is going to be offering like a cable package that's like, you know, local broadcast package on available on Hulu to get, you know, and it will be Hulu's owned by like NBC, and I think Comcast even has a slice of Hulu, and so there's a bunch of people in that have a piece of this who can kind of prevent cord cutting by, you know, creatively packaging and selling. Like, all this shit is so up in the air that they're really just kind of scrambling to figure out, you know, how the fuck do we keep this from just flying apart. So it's
get you some PlayStation View, dog.
Yeah, I mean, this whole YouTube thing, like, obviously, yeah, this is a great answer to this problem. Why did it take this fucking long to figure that out? I mean, I'm sure there's good reasons, but...
Yeah, because you know, it's hard to plan for, you know,
lawyers.
The pettiness lawyers of the answer beings. To that question,
yeah.
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 You know.
Lawyers make shit difficult.
Well,
they like to use big words, you know?
You know, you're having to plan for the worst case scenario,
yeah.
You know, and you should as a business, of course, but like going back to the removing the Sorry out of Hearthstone and,
yeah.
You know, stuff like this and the hacking and the Division, it's like, if you give people the opportunity to be their worst selves, especially on the internet,
they will do it every time.
They will jump on it. Yeah. And it's sad.
And then, but it's like kind of a modern thing that I find fascinating at the same time. Like, it, you know, when a game came out, it was out and that was the game. Like, you had the cartridge and that was it. And it's just not that way anymore. It is it's so totally different than the way, you know, this industry used to be and all the things surrounding it, like it's all interconnected in a way. It's all, you know, video streaming and all that stuff kind of all falls into the same, Jesus Christ, we got to figure this shit out. How the hell is this going to work? You know, category. Like, they just, it's crazy right now. It's really interesting to see all this stuff change and evolve.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a fascinating time to be watching just, you know, the way that technology has changed all sorts of business models. And, you know, cable is a great example of it, of, you know, like, hey, if you offer me television over the internet, and it's not as much as a cable package, then that's the direction I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And how does a traditional company deal with that? And, you know, like, I haven't blown inside a cartridge in years. But
I blow in cartridges all the time.
For cheeseburgers and crack money.
It's a part of my mine shaft fetish. That's why I go down there.
Yeah.
It's blowing cartridges. It's weird. It's my thing. I don't know.
I'm just, you know, for Christmas, I'm just going to buy you a plot of land with a well.
Just get down there and go. That's it. Gets me off.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm honestly a little aroused.
Unless you guys have something else you wanted to talk about, I was going to go to my last story, which is the end of an era. Microsoft will be ending production of the Xbox 360 officially. They will make no more. I mean, that was a pretty good fucking console.
It was, and it lasted a long time.
Yeah.
And it definitely something to be said.
November 22nd, 2005 was when it was originally released.
10-year run, that ain't bad.
That ain't bad. Yeah. But they will be making no more of those. There was a date, I thought. No. They're just not going to make them at some point.
Cool.
Yeah. I had a lot of goddamn fun on that console. I mean, some of my best gaming memories ever are Rainbow Six Vegas on the Xbox 360 with a bunch of friends online. That was some good shit.
You aren't going to talk about this other story with Lenny Kravitz, are you?
Yeah, we can do that one if you want. That's a long story.
I just think it's amazing that this is, that a game did this, you know, a game spawned this, that there's this elusive figure in Eve who has just an immense amount of money and can just say, hey, I'm going to hire all these people to go start a war. And you know what? It literally is putting, like, no dent into the amount of money I have.
Yeah. So, and we've talked about some of this on recent episodes, but there's a giant war going on in EVE online right now, which is mostly being funded by one or two guys, and they're the guys that run IWantISK.com, which is a gambling site where you can take your in-game currency from EVE Online, and you can go there and gamble with it on slots, and you can, I don't know, I've never used it, but there's tons of shit you can bet your money on. And you can, all these guys just make money hand over fist, as the you know, proprietor of any casino does, because the house always wins. But this guy got a hair up his ass one day and got tired of one of the main guys in the game, the Mitanni, who we've talked about before. He's probably, without a doubt, actually, the most well-known player in EVE Online. He is the leader of a corporation called Goon Swarm, who is, I forget what their new moniker is that they've gone to. The Imperium, I believe, is what they're called. Yeah. But so this guy whose in-game name is Lenny Kravitz 2 has bazillions of ISK and has just been funding this giant war in EVE. And this is a long, crazy article. It's actually, if you find this stuff interesting at all, it's really good. You should just go look up this article. It's on Polygon. Meet the gambling kingpin funding EVE Online's biggest war. It's really a cool read. Sorry, I wasn't going to bring this up because I wasn't going to go back to this, but since we're talking about it anyway, I backed the Kickstarter for the book. The one that had previously come out. It was called Empires of EVE, and the author of it is Andrew Groen. I got a nice hardcover book a week or two ago that I've been, I'm probably about a quarter of the way into it, and it is the history of the great wars of EVE that took place back in, you know, the very beginnings of the game, back in like 2003 to 2007-ish, I think is the time frame on it. Actually, I think it goes to 2009. But it's just this history, and this author went back. He did a Kickstarter for it, and he says, you know, I think he said like $14,000 or something, and I'm going to, you know, this will be my project, and I'm going to go write this book about, you know, the history of EVE before, you know, so much time passes that nobody remembers any of this crap. And the Kickstarter was hugely successful. He ended up getting like $89,000 or something like that. And he wrote what so far is just a fantastic read. And it's you can buy the book on Amazon. It's called Empires of EVE. The author is Andrew Groen, G-R-O-E-N, is how you spell his last name. And much like this article, if you find this stuff as fascinating as I do, the book so far has been a really, really good read.
I'd say if you want to just test the waters on that, there are numerous, numerous YouTube videos of these different wars and kind of the strategic histories of what different people did. And I mean, just watching a couple of those videos, it makes me want to get this book and read through some of the crazy stuff that's happened.
It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta name it, and it's sort of happened, you know, if I just, the one that pops out to my head in my head is the guy who infiltrates a company, works his way up, and then he just leaves with like all their money and all their everything one day.
Yeah, it's happened several times in the game where and it's like months of like you have to just be dedicated. You have to go and first of all get accepted into this corporation, and then you have to like literally it takes over your life. You know, some of these articles talk about where it's just like yeah, I mean, my job, you know, as soon as I wasn't at my 9-to-5, you know, all I did was play this game. I didn't sleep. And it was because, you know, all right, I'm going to go mine for 3 weeks and go, you know, get materials for this new corporation that I've joined, because ultimately I want them to trust me. And these guys just bust their ass to get like the trust level up with these real people. And then the minute they get accepted in and nobody's looking, they take all the money. They just clear out the fucking bank account and then bolt. And then they go to like their sworn enemy. That was one of the things I read in the Andrew Groen's book. Last night I was reading it, and there's a story about how this guy just stole billions of dollars in ISK. And this is in the, during the beginning stages of this game where that was unfucking heard of. Like, this, nobody had this much money, and this guy stole it all. And the next day it was discovered that he took it all and gave it to their rival in the game who had declared war against them and just completely fucking destroyed this other corporation in the game.
So that awesome.
Stuff is so great. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just so cool. So yeah, that Andrew Groen's book is a good read. This article is a good read. If you're into this stuff, definitely look it up. It
is. I will say, I looked up the Empires of Eve book, and one of the similar books is, this is just funny, is Internet Spaceships Are Serious Business in yeah. Eve Online Reader.
Yeah.
Which sounds like that would be a fun read.
Like, I mean, I keep saying I hope this game goes free to play, and that's just kind of for my own like greedy, you know, wants. I want to be able to play EVE Online again. There's been a couple times in the last few months where I'll get an email and it's like, yeah, man, come back, have some more crack.
No,
still good. See,
and I'm kind of right there with you. I didn't play it for very long, but there is this just extremely appealing something about EVE Online, yeah. But the problem is the amount of time that it would take to be involved in yeah. that stuff. Maybe not so much now. I mean, if you knew some people and they could kit you out pretty quickly, because you can yeah. buy skills on a new player. Like, if you had some money to throw at it, mm-hmm. you could probably get into it pretty quick. But especially right now with all the wars going on,
I think when I signed out, I still had like 10 billion ISK in that game. Like, I was doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. And
you were, too bad there's not like a savings account in EVE.
It's that you still could've there. If I start my account back up, the player that I was originally playing and all of the skills and cash that I had on hand will still be there.
I would want to accrue interest on that.
That would be kind
of like cool. While I was gone. Oh, you're coming back? Oh, it's been 3 years? Well, here you got 5%, you know, or something like that.
Or if there was some way in the game to like say, okay, I'm going to put all my money into this investment or something in the game, and then,
That would be pretty cool.
And it could be risky. It could, you know, you could come back and all that money could be gone because you bought into something stupid, you know?
I tell you, I mean, they, you know, they've got EVE Valkyrie, and there's the other one that's for the Vive. I can't remember the name of that one. But, you know, obviously EVE's been around for a long time, 2003. Mm-hmm. They've got to be thinking of what comes next on the same scale, you know, the on a scale like EVE, because they've got the Dust 514, which was PlayStation, which was a really cool concept. You affected the EVE universe. I want to see their next game.
They just released a huge expansion for EVE, it's called Citadel, and it is the first time in EVE Online. Like, formerly you could have big space stations and stuff, but you can now build these bases. I think pretty much anywhere. Like, I don't think they need to be tied to anything. So your corporation can just pool all their resources together and build this giant base that then other players can come and attack and just fucking destroy it.
That's interesting. PlanetSide 2 just did something similar to that.
There's a new trailer out for EVE Citadel. Check that out, because it's pretty fucking good. Yeah, like the temptation to get, it's exactly what you're saying. Like, the only way that I could probably get back into EVE Online is, like, if I got in a really bad accident and I was hospitalized for several months.
If you got the job, the NASA job, where you just lay in the bed for, you know, 3 months straight, then, yeah, I would play EVE Online.
What is this job?
NASA will pay you, like, $15,000 to just live in a bed for several months to study bone density loss and different things like that.
I'm assuming they already have somebody in that position.
It comes up every so many months. They open up like when we're accepting applications. There's a couple of really good articles from people who have done it talking about the ups and downs. I mean, you literally don't use your legs. I mean, you're in a bed without using your legs for, you know, an extremely long amount of time. You're eating what they tell you to eat. And then once it's done, you have to go through a whole program with them to rehabilitate your legs, because you've obviously lost a lot of muscle and a lot of bone density.
So, I mean, but if you could play EVE Online during that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's like a situation. One of the guys said that literally all he did was sit there and shop on Amazon. Like, he just had nothing to do, and he had a whole, like, setup with a gaming machine and everything, so he could just sit there and, like, game and buy stuff and just get it shipped, like, to the NASA place. Like, I mean, that's,
and have people hand it to him.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, here's the thing you got, you know?
Oh, my God. All right, that is the news.
All right.
I literally think there's nothing else that I pulled. No more articles. I think we covered everything.
All right, so let's get to our questions, comments, and recipes. And we have a little bit of each. The comment, of course, was the Call of Duty comment from Monsieur Petruzziello. And Casey Bates asks us, just saw something about Tekken 7 being PlayStation VR compatible. I'm looking forward to chopping that leopard mask guy in the neck. Any character from a game, new or old, you would like to kung fu chop?
Johnny Cage, right in the balls.
I'm still just kind of stuck on the idea of a VR first-person fighting game. Like, I might actually be good at a fighting game.
You mean like 4D boxing? I don't know if you guys ever played that wonderful gem of a video game.
What is the fourth D?
I don't remember.
Time, man.
Wonderful, time.
Probably.
It's the time you lost playing it.
I believe that was a DOS-based program, nice. If I remember correctly.
The programming language that the database that I use at work is the programming language for it is called 4D.
That would also be the name of my malt liquor.
4D.
4D.
4Ds. Drunk.
A 40 of 4D.
Drunk and drunk and drunk.
If I were going to karate chop anyone in a video game... It, man, that fucking dog from Duck Hunt that giggles at you, I wouldn't mind taking a swipe at that animal.
The bats in the original Castlevania really pissed me off.
Sure, sure. Yeah. That's some jerk shit there. Yeah.
But like a character? I mean, can't really. I don't know. Like, could I karate chop the Call of Duty series in the neck and just say, stop being so terrible?
You have to 360 no-scope it.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Then I feel like I'm a part of the problem. I'm a part. I'll become what I hate at that point.
That's true. That's true.
Willis Wheeler, this is more comment than question, but here we go. He says his question's why people are tripping on the PS4 Neo if they're not getting a 4K TV. That's the only reason why they're making it, to future-proof the system, he says. We've talked about it on the show before. I don't necessarily think that it is that they're trying to... Yes, they're trying to future-proof this system to an extent, but it's basically catching up a little bit with the PC where that already is. Yeah. I think if as a PlayStation 4 owner, I wasn't really all that upset about the, you know, PS4K or whatever you want to call it, being announced. There are things I enjoy playing on the PS4. There are things I enjoy playing on the PC, and, sometimes there's some crossover there, but yeah, if they put out a new model, I don't know, maybe I'll get one at some point, but it
sounds like such an incremental release though, that it's, I mean, I'm wondering how noticeable any graphics fidelity is going to be, and the fact that it's not actually pushing out 4K resolution, that they're going to have to upscale to it. Like, I'm not super impressed. So, I kind of feel like we're in the same boat. Like, I don't really have a desire to upgrade. Like, I don't see the necessity of it. It seems like it's more of the same audience that's going to buy the new PlayStation and get rid of their old one are the same people who got to have the best graphics card in their PC and have to have the latest motherboard with the best, the fastest RAM. Like, it's there's a certain market that is going to buy into that, that is not, you know, indicative of the rest of the people who are PS4 owners. So I can't fully understand. I mean, I get it. They want it to work better with VR. They want it to, you know, compete with the PC, but it just, I still can't, I can't decide if I think that it's a necessary move on their part or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not, I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making of it. I think, you know, it's one of those things. If you don't have a PS4, then yeah, hold off and buy the 4K or whatever they call it, 4.5, when it arrives. But otherwise, yeah, don't sweat it. It's cool, baby. You're still going to be able to play the games that you want to play. It may be a little bit prettier on the newer version of the PS4. But, you know, I mean, it's not drastically different than when the Xbox went from the regular 360 to the Elite. You know, that was an upgraded system. Yeah. But it still played all the old stuff and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, slightly different, but we're still in the same ballpark.
I mean, they put out the specs for this, the Neo, but they didn't really, like, there's been no discussion of, okay, so what does this actually translate to? Like, what are we going to get out of this added horsepower? So we shall see, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's turn our attention to the recipes now. Which again has rapidly become my favorite thing. So let's start with Jerry Esposito. He says, here's another offering from Jer's Cajun Kitchen, red beans and rice.
Hmm.
And he says, this is an unofficial recipe because he's never written it down before. But the ingredients are 2 onions diced, 3 bell peppers diced, 1 bunch of celery diced. I kind of want to play craps now. A can of diced tomato, 12 ounces, a bag of red kidney beans, 1 ham hock, 1.5 pounds of andouille sausage sliced into half inch round pieces. 8 to 9 cloves of garlic.
Yes.
He says, okay. He says leave them whole. 2 quarts of water or chicken broth. 3 bay leaves. 3 to 4 green onions chopped small. Your favorite Cajun spice mix. And he says, I make my own. A little bit of a braggart. I get it. But in a pinch, just use belts of cayenne and thyme to taste.
Mm.
2 cups of plain white rice. Plus 3.5 cups of water to cook it in. But we'll get to that later. Here he says, all right, first things first, make sure you have some real time on your hands when you make this dish. Not counting prep work and cleanup, we're talking about 3 hours of cooking. So if you're okay with that, we're ready to start. In your big pot, toss in a wee bit of olive oil and heat it over medium heat. Once it's ready, toss in your Trinity, onion, celery, and peppers. Cook this for a good 7 to 8 minutes, stirring frequently. Add salt while you cook to help pull moisture out of the veggies. When you're about 6 minutes in, toss in the garlic. After a few more minutes, toss in the first layer of seasoning. Now use your judgment here, he says. I don't do exact amounts because I know what it looks like to create the flavor I like. Just remember, it's easier to add flavor later, but it's much harder to take it out if you have too much. When the veggies,
nice words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the veggies are good and cooked, toss in the tomato. Cook for like 2 minutes. Now add in the ham hock and the andouille. Also, I know the hock makes stirring a pain in the rear, but we got to get those flavors working. So quit complaining and stir. Cook this for 5 minutes-ish and bring on the beans. Stir to combine and pour on the water. Stir this really well and boost the heat. We need to bring this to a good boil. Usually takes around 8 minutes. Once it comes to a boil, drop the heat down to a simmer. Throw in the bay leaves and check the seasoning. Adjust as needed. Once you're down to a simmer, get a lid on it. Cook for 2 hours, making sure that you've got you give it a stir every 30 minutes. When 2 hours is up, remove the lid, remove the hock, more on that later, and fish out those bay leaves. When you've done all that, get your trusty potato masher, use the masher on the beans, save 10 good stabs into the pot. This will give the cooking liquid a nice thick texture. Now cook this uncovered for another hour. Halfway through, cook the rice in a separate pot while it's cooking. Go over to the ham hock and pull off the skin. Then pick the meat off the hook, the hock, toss the meat into the pot, and you can ditch the bones. Believe me, they've given their all. Once the hour's up, stir in the green onion, stir in the cooked rice, and serve.
Damn.
That is a recipe, gentlemen.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, I mean, I sent in a salsa recipe a couple weeks ago, but I feel like I am completely out of my league.
Yeah, no, that is a hell of a recipe, and maybe, maybe the first page of Hey Fat Ass, the official Shotcast cookbook.
That's right. And that's very well done.
Yeah.
Extremely well done.
Yes, sir. You,
And look, the fact that it's just called, yeah, red beans and rice.
Right, but it sounds like the tastiest motherfucking red beans and rice you ever had.
Red beans and rice. In order to prepare this simple dish, read the following 12 pages.
Yeah, yeah. So I was trying to cut through that pretty quickly. But so listeners, if you want to prepare this dish, you have two choices. One, you may want to get a notepad and hit the rewind. Or just wait for this fall when Hey Fat Ass will be available on Amazon.com. We're really going to do that. I swear to God, we're gonna have a cookbook.
I'm so down for that.
Yeah, I kind of am too. Okay. Joseph Petruzziello. Back with a recipe.
Didn't stop.
Yeah. Spicy tuna salad, he says.
How many pages is it?
No, it's not. That's kind of why I wanted to do the other one first. It is almost, but not quite, you know, cook as the box says.
Is there a Mountain Dew in this spicy tuna?
No, but there is some Tabasco.
All right.
4 cans of tuna. He says he prefers light tuna. Well done. 1/4 cup chopped red onion. 3 chopped habanero peppers. 1 spoon of black pepper. 1/4 cup chopped celery. 1/2 cup of Dijon mustard. And 1/4 cup of Tabasco sauce. He says drain tuna. Mix the ingredients in a large bowl. Let sit overnight in the fridge to allow deliciousness / toxicity to ferment. Enjoy. Makes a delightful tuna melt.
It's delightful.
It's delightful and toxic in equal measures.
I mean, that first recipe was like epic, and this one is the category is delightful. I think those both match up quite well.
Yes, I like the fact that we got what are ostensibly very simple recipes, but one of them is an afternoon, and the other one is like, just mix this together, throw it in the fridge, check on it tomorrow.
They'd be ready to rock.
Yeah, that's Joseph Petruzziello just, you know, once again, bringing it home with something succinct.
That's right.
Thank you very much to everyone who pitched in recipes and questions and comments, and we hope we answered them to some kind of satisfaction. And also, you know, once more, look for your... I'll tell you what, if you contribute a recipe, this is as good as it gets. If a recipe has been contributed, then you get a free copy of the Hey Fattest cookbook. That's the best we can do.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we're going to try to release this holiday season. So think about some desserts, people. When we said that we wanted fish dishes, you came with fish dishes. We're turning our attention to desserts. And then, as the summer goes along, we'll probably go to cocktails. All right. What are you guys looking forward to playing? Justin?
I am looking forward to losing all reality inside of virtual reality.
Excellent. I'm in the same boat with you, man. That's screw this real world shit. Johnny Dolan.
There's enough of that Hitman Sapienza level for me to go back in there and probably have I would bet another 5-6 hours of a good time in there still, because it's vast. It's really, really impressive. So I want to do that. I'm also still going through my list of old games. When I fired up Tomb Raider to see how I had that running on the new system, it was running real nice. And I have not finished the latest, the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, you need to play that, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't finished that yet. I'm probably 5-6 hours into that game, so I need to get down on that one too. And then Fallout 4 is on my short list as well. So.
Sure. For me, there is some VR in my future as well. But I got to tell you, Uncharted 4 right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I am really excited to play that game. And I got to tell you, to the point where the commercials that they've been pimping on television for this. Have you seen this one? The narration is like, you know, they call me a thief, a guy who would do anything to chase a treasure, but that's not who I am. You know, it's like, fucking yeah, Nathan Drake, let's do this.
And the multiplayer beta for that game was phenomenal. So
yeah,
I can't wait to see how that turns out in the final release.
Yeah, I mean, that multiplayer seems like something that is totally unnecessary, but seemed really fleshed out for something that that's not why I'm there for that game, but great.
Yeah, it was really fun.
All right, we will be back then in 2 weeks to talk probably a little more VR, maybe some Uncharted, some more recipes. Remember, desserts. Think about some desserts. And then other foolishness. So hopefully the news will be somehow more Smedley related. So
there's been a definite lack of Smedley, man.
Yeah, I just feel like he is, you know, he's probably in the Far East training right now. And
with Ra's al Ghul.
he's a one man sleeper cell. I mean,
oh yeah,
when you least expect it, like an old flip phone, cell phone will ring in a dark room, and you know, a hand will reach down and pick it up and just say, "Smedley,
you've been Smedley'd." Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you as always for listening. You can find our contact information for the Facebook group and the Facebook page and Twitter, all that on sdfgaming.com. Also, if you would, jump over to iTunes and leave us a review. You can just click on the stars. You don't even like, all you got to do is go to iTunes, go to the store page, and click on some stars. That's all we need you to do. And that certainly helps with the visibility of the program. And, you know, if you know some people who enjoy the video games and you are enjoying this particular brand of nonsense, then let them know about it. Gentlemen, anything else?
Since we're pimping wares, I would just add, go to www.facebook.com/schadenfreudegaming. And that's one of the places we distribute the podcast when the new ones come out. And if you see our post about that, and you would like to help us out, sharing that post with like-minded friends who are interested in that stuff is another great way. Word of mouth is basically the number one way that we get more listeners. So if you can do that for us, it's greatly appreciated.
Excellent. Yeah, and if you guys could go to www.meatspin.com and then just leave a comment like,
don't do that.
How many times the meat was spun, that would be awesome.
All right. All right, until next time, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
I'm not going to do it.
All right.
Too upset.
I'm hypnotized by the spinning meat. Good night.
Good night.